This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. News the way it shouldn't be done.
I think good morning is the appropriate greeting. Look at this. Start of a show. It's a show. Hello, I'm Steve N. Allen. You are Eric McIlroy.
I am.
And you're excited about that as a fact. That
yes.
is good. I don't know why I've started today's show happy.
I don't know. Why?
I'm sure it's
Monday. We had to commute here. All of the things that you don't like.
And Hammersmith and City. I waited 17 minutes for a Hammersmith and City line to then hear, bing bong, there's a good service on all lines. Is there?
Well, it is good comparatively.
Oh, that's a good point. Well made. So this is some news where we have a look at stuff that's been in the news and we talk about it. Before we get there, though, time to wrap up some of the things we've seen before we started the show. Papers say that June is warming up to be a heatwave, or as they say in other countries, summer.
Rail strike talks go into fifth day. If this strike doesn't arrive soon, I'm going to give up and take a bus.
New figures show police are applying to access people's private data online once every 2 minutes, which makes it even more upsetting that no one reads my blog.
And the Patriot Act expired yesterday, which means the NSA can't monitor your calls anymore. If you're a terrorist, now is your time for connecting people.
And we did get a tweet earlier on looking forward to some bad puns. Here we go.
Here we go.
Rita Ora hit the headlines after going into graphic detail about her sex life in an interview. Do you know I did that once and I did not get that job?
Boom. Nick Clegg has been banned from Russia. Just shows how behind the times they are, banning officials that aren't even official anymore.
You have two choices of bad punchlines for this one. Organisers of a smallest penis competition in New York may have to cancel due to lack of interest. Option number one, I entered, but they didn't notice. Option number two, it reminds me I once entered a premature ejaculation competition. Good news, I came first.
Hey.
So that's what I've been doing with my life.
What's nice about this show is we give people a choice of bad punchlines. You know, many shows will make that choice for the listener, but we'll say, you know what, here's two gags that we didn't spend enough time working on. You choose.
I would have had 17 minutes more to write jokes if it weren't for that flipping Hammersmith and City line. Pain in my flipping City line.
You could have spent that time standing, waiting there, writing those jokes.
No, I tried. I tried. Hello, that's us too. And of course, we start the show off by the person, the only person who can hopefully steer the ship in a direction away from the rocks, Amanda.
Hi, morning.
How's it going?
How are you?
What do you reckon them jokes?
Huh? They were good jokes.
Hey,
they
hey.
Were really, that was good.
Hey.
That was a good start.
Jokes.
Oh my God.
So many jokes.
Penises in one of them.
There's a lot of cock in today's show, actually.
I'm thinking, and we get that feedback every single week. I think this is very much the penis show.
Isn't it? We've got cock in a lot of, well, pretty much every hour, I'd say. There we've got a guest definitely to talk about
cock?
How cocks are disappearing
In
the third hour.
That happens when you get older. What?
It's about pub names, obviously, guys. Some animal rights protesters have got a bit hot under the collar about certain names of British pubs, so like the Ye Olde Fighting Cock. And so I've got somebody on from camera to talk about why these names need to be preserved, why it's important to keep the cock.
So that's save the cock.
Save the cock.
It's important to keep the cock in. What was the rest of that sentence? I don't know where you were going with that.
Save the cock in the UK.
Okay.
Okay.
This is going to be the most childish show ever. I'm looking forward to this now.
Also, cocks as well in the second hour with nudity. Naked bike ride took place yesterday in Cambridge. Upset a few people when somebody became a bit excited about what was going on around them. I've seen the photos. I don't know what they were getting excited about because it was not a pretty sight.
There's photos. Hold on.
There's a video, Eric. There's a video.
Gone. He's busy for a while now. You Googling for cock again? Yep.
So it's Cambridge, so it's posh cock.
Well, I mean, presumably they came from outside the area, so maybe it was because it was
not too far. Not too far. They're on a bike and they were naked. I mean, 3 miles tops before you regret that decision.
But there's a cycle that takes place, a ride from London to Brighton naked, isn't there? I mean, that's some chafing, isn't it? I don't know why.
That's what they call it, the big chafe.
Well, I'm hoping to get somebody, one of the organisers on from that bike ride just to tell us, for the love of God, why? Why?
and what do they do with the seats after the ride?
Yeah, burn them. I love the fact that the prompt sheet for that interview is going to be just you writing a page of why. I mean, God, why? Oh, another question. Why on earth? Why?
There are just so many whys in that. I mean, why? I just why? Yeah. Guys, I'm relying on you. If I do get this guest, I'm relying on you to find out.
We'll delve as deep as we're willing to delve with this particular...
Just why.
Just why. Okay.
I'm going to write that down. Could you write that down, why? Eric? Thank you. And I do have a guest in the first hour to explain to you guys about football, really, because FIFA's been in the news, obviously, for the last few days.
Yeah. Sepp Blatter.
Sepp Blatter's managed for... I don't know how he's done that, but he he's victorious. He's, you know, held his cock. Oh.
I wonder where cock was linked into this story.
Well, football cock. I don't know. There's a lot of cock in football as well. But Phil Black is going to come on. He is a very well respected journalist and sports commentator. So please don't ask him about cocks. But he will explain to you about football and how Sepp Blatter's managed to. Hold his post. And also, if it's true that we would never have stood a chance of getting the World Cup when we had that bid with the Prince Harry or William or whichever one it was.
Yeah, it's
with
William
David
and Beckham.
Yeah.
And Cameron helped out a little bit, didn't he?
He turned up, probably.
I don't know. Back to Cox again.
There we go.
Do you know what you were saying that Phil's a respected broadcaster? I remember when you used to be. I remember when you... And now we've made you talk
that
about...
That was about
cock.
10 minutes. About 10 minutes ago.
I can only apologise. I mean, send the bill for
what
the loss of earnings.
What have you done to me?
All right, well, next week we'll definitely just talk about vaginas. Is that...
I also do a show with Lucy Porter on a Wednesday. We cover vaginas in that show.
I'm glad you do, otherwise you don't want to be staring at that all the way through. I know this is
radio.
So is this a fresh chair?
Right. Oh, there's an idea. So I mean, thank you very much. We are up to date. Is there anything else we need to know as we about to dive into this thing we call a show?
I don't think so. I think obviously there's going to be the Agonize as well. We're going to be, you know.
Have you found that? Have you sourced the stories yet?
I have. Yes.
All right. I was going to say, are there any cock related ones?
There's somebody misplacing their cock. In one of the stories, putting it where they shouldn't have been.
Lost property. I mean, that's what I do.
And obviously, then we'll have the definitive word, which I've got no idea. That's a surprise to you and me.
Beautiful.
I've got no idea it was going to go in that.
Hours to come up with that.
Yeah, it feels like it. So thank you very much. We're up to date. We'll be heading into the show. I think we're ready. We're on the edge. Let's jump in. Are you ready? Any other update that we need from your life, Eric?
Nope.
Okay.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. News the way it shouldn't be done.
Good morning, I'm Stephen Allen, that is Eric McIlroy, and welcome to Some News, the show that takes a look at the news and then does other things. Talks about it is mainly the thing that we do. So there's been one big news story that's happened of late that I feel we should mention, and it's this. FIFA corruption. One of the additional headlines recently, Andy Burnham says England should boycott Russia 2018 World Cup. There's a pay investigation happening somewhere because of some money and whatever. And Sepp Blatter managed to retain the position. Here's where the wheels fall off as soon as I start finishing this sentence. Sepp Blatter retains the position that he had before because he had some positions. Some people don't like him. And there's a thing. Can you tell that I don't know anything about football?
Yes. I don't know much about football, but at least I know that he's retained the presidency of FIFA.
Oh, is that it?
And he's managed to be re-elected.
Which because you're American, you're obsessed with the idea of presidents.
That's true, yeah. That's fine. Hillary Clinton was the runner-up. So she's going to win something someday. Someday.
But it does mean the problem is, so you're not an expert on football. I know and indeed don't really care that much about football, so I really struggle to get into this story. But it's a big story that's been in the news. We should find out more about it.
Yes,
which
we
is
should.
Why I'm pleased to say we're joined by an expert who knows about these things. Phil Black is on the line. Hello, sir.
Morning, chaps. How are we doing?
Not bad at all. So I'm praying that you can fill me in on this. I know nothing about football, and this is slowing me down to try and work out what this story is actually about.
Yeah, it's about football, but it's not really. It's more about politics and influence and corruption. To try and sum it up for you, this has been going on, according to the current investigations, for a number of years now. And the accusations are that a certain number of FIFA officials have taken bribes, backhanders, to the tune of round about over 150 $1 million. Most of it in terms of contracts for football tournaments that FIFA preside over, the TV rights, that sort of thing. So effectively, they've been accused of taking these backhanders collectively for a total of about $150 million,
right,
for their say, their signature on these contracts and certain companies getting certain deals.
You've made it sound sexier already. If it was just football, I'm not sure. Yeah, but there's intrigue. There's like a good storyline here. They should make a film out of this.
I think at some stage, further down the line, they probably will, particularly given the storyline and how it all came about last week, how it actually happened. As I say, these investigations have been ongoing, really, in the background for quite a while now. And then FIFA got together for their presidential conference, which you alluded to last week, where Sepp Blatter was voted in as president. But what that meant was that all the FIFA dignitaries and associates came together in Zurich for this conference last week for their big bash, as it was. And the authorities were all aware of that. What it meant was that all these figures were in the same place at the same time. So the day before the conference, they went to their hotel in Zurich and arrested the ones that they wanted. So it really is like something out of a film script.
See, that's, I wouldn't have done it by arresting them. I would have, seeing as they're all there, that what you want to do is get them all in the main conference hall and then walk on stage saying, well, I suppose you wonder why I called you all together. The culprit is in this room.
Yes, you could have waited until Sepp Blatter maybe stood up to launch his acceptance speech and then pounced on the audience, couldn't you?
Yes, exactly. So, all right, there's corruption. Sepp, well, are we allowed to say that there is corruption? Is there definitely corruption, or do we have to use...
That is the allegation. That's the reason for the arrest, yes.
But I suppose, and from my point of view as someone who's not really into the football, all of the money that is being diddle-daddled with is football money, isn't it?
Effectively, yes.
So I never spend money on football, so it's definitely not my money. So for us non-football people, why don't we just let FIFA be corrupt? Let them be the football mafia.
You could argue that. I mean, the money from FIFA that they make, and we're talking, you know, the organisation declares about £1 billion a year, so it's not small change. And a lot of that does filter down, or should filter down to, yeah, I mean, potentially sort of youth football, which you wouldn't be particularly interested in, but also to charities and to external sources. So it's not just football money. It's money generated by football, but it is used in a sort of wider scheme of things.
So this is important for us, not just for the football fans. There is an issue of corruption that we need to get to the dirty bottom of this.
Well, that's basically it. Yeah, it's people doing wrongdoing on a very significant scale that they've been getting away with, allegedly, for so many years now, that finally they've actually done something about this, and yet FIFA themselves, the governing body, haven't done an awful lot. They're insisting that they have, and Sepp Blatter, when he was re-elected as president, which is a whole other story, really, because the fact that the president of an organisation that is accused of corruption on such a grand scale is allowed to continue in his job almost unopposed. He only had one opponent in the presidential election and beat him fairly comfortably. That's quite incredible in itself.
Yeah.
It's a long investigation. It's going to take him at least another, you know, until he's in his 90s to sort it out. Do you think that, do you think that there's significance in the fact that it was the Americans that came in and made all these arrests, considering that we don't even care about soccer?
Well, the reason for that, apparently, I was a little bit surprised by that initially, but the reason for that is that a lot of these deals actually took place in America, which, you know, a lot of Americans have said, well, we don't really care that much about soccer, although it is growing quite significantly, I think, in America. But these transactions were done in the States, which is why the U.S. Federal agencies and what have you have got involved. That's their role in, despite the fact that then they... we're working with the Swiss authorities to actually make the arrests in Zurich. And I think really forces and detectives all around the world now have been pulled together. But the fact that these deals took place in America is why that's kind of where it started. That's the driving central factor, if you like.
So even in the corruption, that's one good thing that FIFA's doing, is bringing the world together around a single event. So that must be part of their core mission, I would imagine.
So do you think?
I would imagine so. Yeah.
Do you think that? A lot of people on Twitter were commenting that they didn't want Sepp Blatter to continue to hold his position. I saw a headline. It was yesterday's Telegraph. Prince William was commenting on Sepp Blatter, Sepp Blatter retaining his post. And you think, if anyone can preach about not being voted in, correctly voted into a position of responsibility. Her whole family should back off from that one. But he won the vote. I mean, how much corruption could there be that even if you've got some people that he's sending money their way, and you know, the smaller nations, there's money going to help their football, so they're going to vote for Sepp Blatter. But even so, as you say, there was he pretty much walked that election. So maybe he has remit, he has the mandate to rule.
Currently, that's how it stands. I'm fairly convinced it's not going to stay that way. The reason why he was voted, I mentioned that there's only one guy standing against him. But all these people that vote in the FIFA election are FIFA officials who have, as you kind of said, benefited from the work that Sepp Blatter has done over the last 20-odd years that he's been in the job. So they were never really going to vote against him. Where change can be enacted, really, and the only way I think that change can be brought about is if the sponsors get involved and make a stand, because that's where FIFA officials are going to be hit if all of a sudden the people that are putting these £1 billion a year into their collective pocket say, well, hang on, you know, all of a sudden you're not doing our reputation, you're not doing the sports reputation any good. You have to make significant changes. We can't have the man who's presided over this, whether he was directly involved or not, and apparently he wasn't, and Sepp Blatter, sorry, FIFA say didn't know anything about this, but there again, he's leading the organisation. Is that not part of his job to know about these things and to sort them out? He says various, you know, internal procedures have been ongoing, and that was the reason for a number of the other arrests, was because of information that they've provided themselves. But effectively, he's presided over this. The only way that is going to change, that real change, I think, can be brought about is by the sponsors and the likes of UEFA getting involved and taking a stand and maybe boycotting the next World Cup, which is something that has been rumoured is a possibility.
Is there a risk of we do more investigation into this, they find out that the granting of the World Cup to various nations, maybe there's some kind of fiddly deal, is there any risk that we'll end up having the World Cup back here and then we have to deal with having a World Cup here?
I think it's very unlikely. I mean, you say risk. A lot of people would say that would be a good thing, given how much England wanted it and were in there.
It's all very well for them, but they don't have to try and pay the rent using stand-up comedy. Turns out, if you do gigs when there's a football game on and England's playing, no one turns up.
Well, you see, I never thought of it like that, but you mentioned it. I think you're fairly safe. I don't think it's going to happen. The FA president, actually, Greg Dyke, was asked about that. And he said, you know, it's a non-starter, really. I do think if the World Cup was suddenly pulled from Russia, where it's meant to happen in 2018, then England probably the only country that actually could step in at this sort of notice, because it's got all the stadiums and the infrastructure in place already. But the indications are that's probably a non-starter.
And we also already have quite a lot of Russian aeroplanes off our coast, so it's like they'd still be able to help out with security.
One way, another way of looking at it, yeah.
I think I found a silver lining in two negative stories there. That was a bit of a shocker.
So you're doing well in that respect.
What's your predictions for how this is going to roll out over the next few days?
I think we have only really just started to scratch the surface in this story, and the investigations that are ongoing that led to those arrests and to the officials being questioned, they're going to continue. I think there's lots more to come from this. Ultimately, I can't see Sepp Blatter surviving in his post. I know he was voted back in, and he's the man in charge at the moment. I just think the pressure is going to grow and grow on his position, where it becomes untenable. Many would suggest he's in an untenable position already, but he's in no mood to walk away. I think a lot of people in his position, and he is, 70 of, would say, I don't need this anymore. He's been painted really as the villain by everybody outside of FIFA, and you would imagine most people would have just walked away in his boots. I think eventually the pressure will come to the point, particularly if there are more revelations, more arrests, more allegations that are proved, and he ultimately will have to walk away. And hopefully we will get some change within FIFA from within and try and sort this whole mess out. But it's going to take an awful long time. This could be going on for a fair few more years, yeah, I would have thought.
Phil, it sounds like we might get to know you quite well.
You see, if it does go on for a fair few more years, I'm going to do all right out of these sort of stories. your kind of logic.
It's a little bit of corruption. I mean, maybe that's what we should do, is just change it.
I've taken no backhanders from Sepp or anybody else.
Maybe we should legalize. I mean, maybe these little bribes, maybe it's not such a bad thing. Puts more money in the economy. I mean, why should the players be the only ones to make any money out of football?
I wasn't suggesting that.
I think that's another route here because, I mean, clearly, if anything, Sepp is good at facilitating corruption, maybe just legalize the corruption. That's another angle.
You said that, not me.
Yeah, it's an interesting angle. Well, I mean, we'll take people's response to this. You can tweet at FUBAR Radio. And then by the sounds of it, Phil, we might get to speak to you in the future because I'm not going to understand any of the things that happen with this story. You could be my guide. You could be my Sherpa through the mountain of this.
I'll be happy to try and help you out.
Oh, that'd be good.
Phil Blacker, thanks very much for joining us.
Pleasure, guys. Take
care.
Bye.
So, Eric, are we any the wiser there? You got any idea?
Well, I'm just trying to think, because he's made it sound sort of regal. Like, it's kind of like it's all intrigue, and it's like a Game of Thrones.
Oh,
like, what is it, Game of Goals? Or what would be a good... Because we can copyright that
right. And
launch a series.
I don't know enough about football to find anything
game
that rhymes with
kicks,
thrones.
Game of...
What rhymes with thrones in the world of football?
Game of bones. Game of... I don't know.
There's
got to
be something. Football with bones? What?
Well, they've got bones in their bodies.
Good point.
They?
Well made. Game of goals. Yeah, game of goals. Not bad,
game
actually.
It's going to be game of goals. Game of goals.
There's going to be intrigue. There's already corruption at some point.
Sex.
It's good for you to offer.
Dwarfs.
I was trying to think in the last episode of Game of Thrones, Cersei was put in prison. So maybe we just... Sorry, by the way, spoiler alert. So maybe we just throw Sepp Blatter in a prison because he had carnal relations with his one-handed brother.
Mm.
Allegedly.
That's a spoiler as well, in case you haven't gotten to the bit where he gets his hand cut off.
Good point. So does Sepp Blatter get his hand cut off?
We can only hope.
Yeah, if it's in tills, that stuff's going to happen. On the way, we'll delve into some more news.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some jokes.
Good morning, I'm Steve N. Allen. If you want to tweet the show, if you want to tweet this Some News show, you can tweet at FUBAR Radio. You get me direct, I'm at Mr. Steve N. Allen. And what are you, Eric McIlroy?
At Eric McIlroy.
Makes sense.
The French National Front has backed the Tories on EU referendum and says France needs one too. The vice president of the French National Front, Florian Philippe.
Beg pardon? Should we take that one from the top again?
The vice president of the National Front, Florian Philippe.
Oh, Florian Philippe.
Told his 43 Twitter followers.
No, not 43 Twitter followers.
43,000 Twitter followers. I was trying to downplay it because he's got more Twitter followers than I do. Not by much. Maybe I should become a member of the French National Front.
I thought you already were. That's why we gave you this news story.
France should be like the British and hold an in-out referendum vote. David Cameron has an uninvited supporter for his pledge for an EU referendum. France's National Front.
Can't help thinking that when we do get an EU referendum, it shouldn't just be an in-out one. There should be a third option to shake it all about. I don't even know why.
I knew you were going, oh, man.
You knew I was going to go there.
Yeah. I almost said it. You can't say in-out and not shake it all about.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
It's like a... I thought this is an interesting piece about, because, you know, Cameron's been gallivanting around Europe this week. It's supposed to be about the EU referendum. I think it's just a little bit of a post-election holiday.
And we're paying for that.
I know, we're paying for that.
Tricky thing is, though, I mean, I'm like, part of me goes, why should we be paying for Cameron to have a holiday? The rest of me goes, I will chip in to get him to leave the country more. So,
ooh, a little lefty. Bring it on.
Just the way I'm sitting.
I know. The thing is, I mean, I wonder if... I don't know if he took the family along, because if he did, he better be careful, because if he leaves the kids in a pub in Europe, I mean, let's just make sure it's not Portugal. That's all I'm saying.
Have you not seen the pictures of Samantha Cameron in underwear?
In a little itsy-bitsy-teeny-weeny yellow polka-dot bikini.
Of course it's on the front page of the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
The Daily Mail, right? I know this is not even what we're talking about, but brief aside, brackets. Brief aside requires different music. But say that. Hang on, where's me different... Different music. The Daily Mail.
Yes.
The problem with it is, right, it has this really preachy attitude. Hmm. And it'll have news stories of, like, you know, teacher vaguely looks at student, burn him. It's something to do with someone in Europe's a bit fancy, let's burn them as well. Have you seen their website? Down the side. So the main news story, down the side.
It's all about the boobies.
It's all about this disgraceful. Bikinis, woman on a beach, women like beaches. There's a bikini. Look at the knees on that. Why are celebrity magazines obsessed with knees? What?
I've never noticed the knees. I'm more of I'm not a knee man.
You're not a knee man.
I'm not a knee man.
Even if you're a knee man, no one's that into it as the Daily Mail. Kind of, it's like watching Heat magazine, but with fewer clothes. Anyway, so that's the Daily Mail.
I'm a little distracted now.
Yeah.
Does anyone have a knee fetish? Is there a website? I mean, I've seen foot fetish. I've seen
knee fetish.
We
know I've got the website ready. My favourites. No, I've got my computer ready. I'll Google it.
If there's anybody listening that has a knee fetish, you can tweet us at FUBAR Radio. We're going to now use the FUBAR wireless.
To look at
knee erotic knees.
I'm Googling for knee fetish. Urban Dictionary knee fetish. 10 bizarre fetishes, including knee fetish. Big knee lover on Twitter. Wow. Is that he's a big lover of knees, or he loves a big knee?
In less than 90 seconds did we get from the National Front endorsing the United Kingdom leaving Europe and wanting France to do the same to someone orgasming on a knee?
Should we get back to the main topic?
No, I think we should stay on knees.
Back
to the main topic. So, basically, the French have said maybe we should leave the EU as well. They're aligning themselves with the Tories, which is probably unwelcome since the National Front is sort of France's BNP.
It's the French letters. Version of the British National Front.
Is there a British National Front as well?
Was that not on the test? You know, when you take your citizenship test?
Yes.
They should point out that...
I don't think they encourage you to join the racist parties.
Be a leaflet.
Now that I'm British, shut the door.
If you want to be proper British, then surely you know about these things.
But apparently Cameron, he went around... Well, I mean, what was scary about this is all the headlines about Cameron going around Europe and meeting with all these other national leaders saying, you know, we might want to leave. And no one seemed to go, nah, don't go. They all just went, yeah, okay, I think we can come up with some terms that will give you reason to vote for a referendum. They want us to leave, and that's why Britain should stay, because Europe doesn't want us.
It would annoy foreigners.
It would annoy the foreigners.
Excellent work. And then there'll be articles in the Daily Mail about annoying foreigners and down the side, pictures of knees.
For the people that are suspicious of the EU, if we make them think that Europe doesn't want us anymore, that will make those same people not want to do what Europeans want and want get us to stay in. Because I would like us to stay in.
I'm getting confused. So if Bruce Willis is dead, then what was the... I'm very confused. So I don't even know where I stand on Europe. I was thinking about this recently. I was very much pro... Oh, that's a good point. Well made. Google Maps should have told me that. I used to be very much pro-Europe, but then the Eurozone thing crash happened, and I was like, oh, nuts. I'd have been voting to join the Euro ages ago. I'd be like... But that as a selfish... Nothing worse than having to get stuff exchanged. You get whipped off right up when you try and exchange your currency. I thought, if I'm in the Euro, NatWest can spin, because I'm not going to have to pay to get my money converted. Boom. Yeah. But then we would have had a worse recovery. So actually, I probably don't know. I'm not too stressed about not knowing, because between now and the vote, I imagine we are going to be bombarded with information. That's why I don't want to go too much into Europe at the moment on the topic on the show, because if we still get to continue doing shows, you never know. You never know in showbiz. I get the feeling we're going to be talking Europe an awful lot.
So you don't know anything about football.
Uh-huh.
So we just cross that off the list. So we're not going to cover that in the show.
Yeah.
You don't know anything about Europe.
Yeah.
So we're not going to cover that.
And we're not going to do European football.
Not do European football. Yeah. Okay, not do that. And
I don't know much about history.
Don't know much about.
For some reason, do know about knee fetishes. I don't know why I'm doing this.
Because that's the direction that we want to go. So we don't want to talk about a story because it's going to be in the news.
Don't want to burn
too much
soon.
Because our show, which is called Some News Live, about the news, you're worried about covering the news too much.
Too early. I don't want to go too early on this.
A little premature.
I've got form. I entered a premature ejaculation competition. Came first. So, where do we get to on this? it's one of those days.
We're just petering out. Oh, there we go. A little bit of Red Bull action going on. I would like to stay in Europe just so that I could retire in... there's nowhere I could retire in Europe because I don't speak any other languages. So never mind. We can leave.
Oh, there are many parts of Spain where they speak... they're mainly English people. I mean, you know, criminals, but yeah.
Yeah, I've been to Tenerife. It's like going to Essex in 1985. It's horrific. It's terrifying.
So you're almost fresh out of nations to go. It seems you've already left America. You've had a go at the UK. It's not worked out. Looking up at that. You've got Australia and New Zealand left.
Yeah.
Canada, they speak English.
Imaginary place doesn't exist.
Why not?
It's like Wales.
It does have a lot of snow as well. Makes sense.
Yeah, it's too cold there. I wouldn't want to go there.
So do you think we're actually going to get... I like the wording of the vote. I like the wording, it should we stay in, isn't it? The wording of the referendum is going to be, should we stay in?
Yep.
because there was a big hoo-ha about the way the Scottish one was was phrased. Should we be an independent nation? I think originally the way that Alex Salmond wanted to phrase that referendum was like, do you want to continue being totally screwed over by the ugly, horrible English people or not? And they were the two options. So sometimes the way the question's held can be can lead a little bias. I think, do you want to stay in Europe? Or should we leave Europe, or do you want to stay in? That's, yeah, I think we're not going to have too much about the question bias. But I think an awful lot of people in this country are just going to vote no because Europe has foreigners in and people don't like, you know, there's that. It's like Plaqueton having a UKIP representative and it's the one place with the lowest immigration. There's like one guy who's half German and they love him, but they still hate immigration. So there's something, this natural urge to go, foreigners, don't like him. Europe, want out of that. Why? Don't know, mate.
Well, that's the thing that's ironic about this is because we are currently considered citizens of Europe based on our passports and everything else legally, even though people won't accept that. They're not foreigners because we're Europeans as well. That's the great irony of all this is that they're not actually foreigners.
Sometimes I just like to think that we are the world. We are, I don't even know the rest of the lyrics on that one.
We are the children.
That's the, well,
we are the ones who make a better day. Just you and me.
I know, I'm not, I should have ended there. I get the feeling we've hit high in this topic. But
we've got 4 minutes left.
We've got 4 minutes left. There's no way we can top that. Unless we actually just sing the whole song. I believe the children are the future.
Isn't that a different song?
Yeah, probably. Was, yeah.
The sad thing is, I don't know. I mean, that's my musical, that was my musical moment, We Are the World. That was when I peaked musically. And then there was a bit of Kenny G. And then there's been some Coldplay.
Oh, God. What's wrong with you, sir?
And, gosh, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. My son's homework this week over the half-term holiday, because it was half-term, and that's why there are more children about that you may have been stepping on.
Oh, well, I know this because we are the children.
And my son's homework was to learn the words to a Katy Perry song.
Which, the one about kissing girls and liking it?
I don't know, but I was just that's part of the national curriculum in this country. That's what we've gotten to. And you know why? Because we're part of Europe.
Part of Europe, human rights, eh? Who needs those other than humans, eh? Don't get me started.
Hey, the Tories don't want to keep the Human Rights Act because they're not human.
Oh, left wing slam!
You'll get more gigs now. So do you, if you were to get the vote, you're allowed the vote.
I'm British.
But as an immigrant, because the EU people living here in the UK aren't going to be allowed to vote. And I don't even know whether I agree with that or not, but I suppose if you are still technically... If you're living here, but your nationality is from another country, but hey, this is Europe, free movement of people. Yeah. I suppose it makes sense that you don't get to vote in the in-out bit of the referendum.
Well, they get to vote. Well, this is what I never understood. They get to vote in local elections. So if you're from Sweden and you live here, you can vote for your local councillor, but you can't vote in the national UK election.
It feels like it makes sense.
So I, because I am a British citizen,
okay.
I get to vote in everything,
including Swedish elections. I have no idea what's happening.
Let's add that to the list of things you don't know about. It's the elections.
But Bruce Willis is dead.
I'm just going to give this list to Amanda.
People love knees.
Don't say Bruce Willis. You're going to start a trend on Twitter. Bruce Willis died. Bruce Willis has not died. Where does that come from?
Oh, good point. Cersei's in prison. Slept with her brother. On the way, we'll delve in some more news soon.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy. Ripping you a news one.
Good morning, I'm Stephen Allen, that's Eric McIlroy. This is some news on FUBAR Radio. You can tweet at FUBAR Radio with any comments. I'm trying to think, what have we talked about so far? Football and Europe.
Yep.
Yep, good luck with that. If you want to try and get in on a chat, although I don't...
Chuckle a minute.
Yeah, I don't want to really throw out kind of... give us your opinion on Europe, because... Oh, have you ever been sat with someone who's really got a proper opinion about Europe? Oh, dude.
You mean anti-Europe sort of opinion, or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pro-European people are kind of like, hey, you know, there's a lot of jobs. The anti-European are kind of like, blah, 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 that kind of vibe.
Yeah, there's a weird historical separation here.
Yeah, it's the kind of people who read the Daily Mail not for the knee articles. I don't understand those people. Orthodox Jewish women driving ban unacceptable, says Nikki Morgan. Now, this is a story... you know me. There's an opportunity to have a little bit of a rant about religion, and saying
is that what your angle?
Yeah,
here?
And saying like, oh,
that's because there's a number of areas that we are dangerous topics in this story. You've got we don't want to attack women drivers because that was the one thing we were not going to do.
This is the only thing we had from this morning's pre-show meeting in the coffee shop. Don't do any joke about women drivers about that one, and that's all we said.
And then, because I mean, well, A, they're not the problem. It's the Asian drivers, clearly.
Oh, okay, well, that's, and, yeah. Okay, well, okay.
Shouldn't say that. Okay. No. And then we're not going to have a go at Jewish people, clearly.
No.
Although the one good takeaway from this is it's not just Muslim people that are oppressing women around the world anymore. So that's a nice angle. Can we go with that?
Is that a nice angle?
Is that a good?
Okay.
Okay. So there we go. So you want to, but so you want to take the religious angle.
You know me. I always like to say, oh, look, if your religion is making something happen that offends other people, that upsets other people, it shouldn't outrank other people's liberty. Liberty should come before religion. I've got that sewn into a pillow.
So, all right, so if that's the case, so if liberty should come before religion...
Before we... Just to make sure we've set the story.
Okay, yes.
There is a school that says that they don't want the mothers of the children driving the kids to school because they don't want the women driving because it goes against the laws of modesty within our society. This particular sect within the Jewish religion goes for, boom, where were we up to?
So there we go. So you're saying the liberty of the people to express their religious views is impeding people's liberty to drive.
Yeah.
Is that what your is that your angle?
Is Bruce Willis dead? Here's the problem, right? The problem is this. We've broached this before. It is very difficult in the modern day world to be this kind of left leaning. This is what happens. You go to university, you become a stand up comedian, you just have this kind of like champion the underdog. Oh, I'm all about tolerance. We should be tolerant for everyone.
Yes.
But then when you end up being the question becomes, how tolerant can you be of people who are intolerant? When they have a rule that impinges on someone else's liberty, then you're like, oh, I don't want to pick on them, but if I like support their right to do this, then that's causing a problem over there, and I want to support theirs. Oh no, what do you do? I've solved this because of the Hammersmith and City Line today. I stood there thinking, which is a rare thing to do on the Hammersmith and City Line, and I had to get the Overland train, so instead of coming to Caledonian Road, I went to the other one down there, the one that's got two names, the Overland train. Caledonia and Barnsbury or whatever.
It's not my hood. I don't know.
And so I walked up, and as I was walking up, I realised the problem. You have a logical flaw if you try and be tolerant of everyone, because then you have to try and be tolerant of people who aren't tolerant.
Yes.
What you should be is intolerant of intolerance. Slam the pen down. Because that way, anyway, you do whatever you want, mate. Do whatever you want.
But
that's
then
my.
How do you decide what is intolerant?
But if you have a rule that stops. And there's a really good point within there. But in general, if you have a rule that stops people doing things, impinges upon their liberty, then as someone who leans to the left, you should be like, no, I'm going to be intolerant to your intolerance. You shouldn't be allowed to impinge liberty. The tricky issue with this particular one is there's an opt-in, isn't there? That if you send your kids to a school and you belong to a faith and the faith has a rule, you actually probably want to stick to that rule because it's part of your faith. But I would really like it if there was a choice element. So the choice should be, how about you choose not to drive?
Yeah.
Right? And then they'd choose not to drive. And then I wouldn't be offended because it's a choice. Mm-hmm. But when a school says, we don't want to educate your children if you drive them to school.
Yeah, but you have enrolled them in a school where this is one of the rules of the school. So the solution is school buses. Oh.
Well, this is the other problem with this story as well. I've spent ages driving around going, oh, it really winds me up. An old law religion, just get with the program, get up to date. Why would you try and oppress women? And this is oppressive to women because of the phrase goes against the laws of modesty within our society. Is modesty in driving as a man? And I don't know if I've said this before. I am one. I've never walked down the street and saw a woman driving and thought, oh, look at the driving. Oh, I really like being driving.
I wonder what the... Well, we're going to cover a story later about naked bicycling, which I would imagine.
Oh, look at that. Oh, gear change. Did you hear that gear change? Oh. The more you talk, I'm going to do it.
What if it's an automatic?
Oh, gear change.
Then there's no gear change.
Oh, revving.
The thing is, this is a growing sect of Jewish people because of their high birth rate, which is maybe why they don't want the women driving, because they're in labor.
Nope. If I were to design a religion, and let's be honest, I'm not going to, one of the laws that I'd slap down would be none of that contraception, Lark. No, that's a bad... It's very... Because if I did a religion, I would also do it in the voice of Ronnie Corbett. I think that came out there, didn't it? No.
No contraception. So you're like the Catholic Church, against...
I like contraception. Love it. Love it. Can't get enough. Well, I probably can, just one at a time.
That's why you've got that condom on your head.
But if I were to design a religion... You want to lock in some laws that's going to make that religion successful. First one is no contraception.
Oh, no, we've just had absolutely crap loads of kids. Oh, no, now you've got seven more followers. Oh, look at that. Yeah. Already we're doing well. Is the prediction that every 18 years the population of this sex is set to double? It's geometric progression, by the way, that one.
Oh, is it? Ooh. See, there's some things you know about. Now that to the list of things he does know about.
Maths.
The long list of not knowables. Though. And then there's the knowables. I mean, I'm very much of the have tolerance for intolerance.
Tolerance for intolerance.
Because I don't want to be the one. I mean, if it's not, you know, it's like in the U.S. when it's legal to burn the Quran, it's legal to draw Muhammad, it's legal to say racist things. And I think you need that freedom to say stupid and do stupid things. You can't ban that because I don't want anyone deciding what I can or can't say. I want the right to say stupid
things. I wish someone would work with you on it, though. Just get a team of someone back there.
I could use someone to coach me on just speaking in general and articulation, definitely. But I don't. I'm well on the libertarian left, as lefty as you can get. Say what you like, no matter how offensive it is. No rules.
So you're just like, you know what? Ban the mothers of the children. If you've got a school, if you're a school, then come up with your own rules. Make them disappear. Make them stand aground. You know, like H.G. Wells, where there's like two types of humans in the future. How about you start one of those? Are you fair?
I haven't read that story.
It's a great story.
So, I mean, I guess, well, yeah, where it does impede someone else's freedom, that is tricky. I mean, where it comes to what they can say whatever they like. Yeah. But your point actually is a good defense. These people have chosen to enroll in a school that has rules and they're not getting government money, I guess, or they're not under the control of the government, so let them do what they like.
And this is why I've spent so long this week ripping myself apart on this. I have a belief and I just keep arguing against it because the other thing, I'm very much in favour of stopping people driving their kids to school. Yeah. And this is one thing that does that. I was like, oh, no, but you're doing it because of a religious stupid thing. Oh,
so we should expand this sect. Can we join? Is there a website to join? Can I join the Jewish group?
I think you've got a head start on me on that one.
Apparently, yeah, my mother says that there's I've got some Jewish blood. So well, I'm going to, there's the contact information there.
There's that other issue
And
as
my
well,
wife then. Doesn't drive, so there we go. Tick that box.
You've already, yeah.
No, I would love for her to drive because I end up being her chauffeur. So I would be these guys haven't thought this through because if your wife stops driving, you got to drive them fucking everywhere. And if you're listening, honey, I love driving you all the places.
I wish your wife would drive as well.
I'm going to get a text.
I wish your wife would drive because...
oh, there goes the phone. Oh, dear.
I love it when they drive. Always so. Not that modesty. Not that, behind a car. Inside a car. You can just see through the windows. Oh, I loves it.
I was going to say, well, what do they get? What about tinted windows? Maybe let's workshop a solution to this.
Good point.
So if it's about modesty, mm-hmm. we want to respect their views and respect that they're worried about the immodest. Tinted windows.
Yep.
Okay. Tinted windows.
Actually writing it down, which is weird because we're not actually going to send it off, but yep, good.
It just helps.
Okay.
This is not okay.
Good sentence. Well made.
Tinted windows. What else could help with the modesty? What if they wear a full veil, like face veil, so you can't see their face? They can't see.
Welder's mask.
Welder's mask.
Stop UV light coming through as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you? Yeah. All right. Welder's mask. Anything else help with the modesty?
Not have a car horn.
Okay.
Or a really gentle car horn.
Gentle car.
You know, have you ever heard the horn on my car?
No.
Is the dogging joke coming soon? No, it's not going to. I didn't realise my car has such a low...
little beep.
Everyone else's car, like a proper kind of... get out of my way. Mine's...
beep, hello. How
you doing? It's a little tiny car. So I think, yes, basically, the women should have to drive my car with tinted windows. It's modest and it is available if you would like to buy it for about £2,000, please. If you'd like to call in, if you'd like to buy my car for £2,000, you can get it on 0330 223 0200. Solved another one. Boom.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. News the way it shouldn't be done.
H-E-L-L-O.
And we're back. I'd do the same thing if I were to do a longer version of my hit single. I'd just put most of the letters in it.
So it's a long. Well, if you're listening to this on the podcast, you won't have heard the song. The song was, what was that song?
Over and Over by whatever they were called. Hot Chip, isn't it? Yeah, Hot Chip. Sorry, I'm in the wrong. I'm in FUBAR mood. Ask me again when I'm in commercial radio mood.
What was that last song, Steve?
It was a great song by Hot Chip and Over and Over. Good morning, I'm Stephen Allen. No.
They just spelled, it was a longer version of the song because they spelled every single word. Is that what was going on there? I don't really
understand. But it helped. At least I got a sense of clarity.
How We Are the World, W-E, A-R-E. Oh, God. On to the next news story.
Okay.
Newly elected MP has a sword hook, but not a desk or a phone. The SNP's John Nicholson voiced his frustration at absurd Commons bureaucracy in an outburst on BBC Question Time. The Scottish have arrived in Parliament. That's the main story here. They're arrived, and they're shocked by the antiquated... normally we'd be making the jokes like, they've come down to Scotland, and ooh, there's electricity. But no, they've come down from Scotland, and they don't have phones. They don't have access to the internet. They've got a hook to hang their sword on, which is not a euphemism.
Wow. It's true. I mean, we have quite the backwards parliament. Is this actually true, or have they just thought, you know... They probably did this. Come here. There are some Scottish SNP MPs coming down. All we're going to do is, we'll change Wikipedia now. They wouldn't have read it now. We'll change the Wikipedia entry to say that Parliament has things like a purple ribbon to hang your sword on. They're like, what, a purple ribbon to hang your sword? I know, it sounds stupid, but they'll fall for it.
They'll never fall for it.
Well, of course they'll fall for it. And then what we'll do is, we'll give them phone numbers.
Well, yeah, it makes sense.
But don't give them phones.
Why are you giving it?
Why do we even get you in, Eric? I could do the show. We've got about 15 people here.
Yeah, it's just like that.
Good evening. Not you as well. Yeah.
No, the joking thing. I mean, that when the Clinton administration went out of office and George W. Bush was coming into the White House, before the Clintons left, they took all the W's off all the keyboards.
Really?
In the White House.
Yeah. Then they had to get Hot Chip in and they spelled everything out for them.
Exactly.
That's how they get work.
I guess it is a culture shock coming in. Apparently they got in trouble as well because you're not supposed to applaud in the House of Commons. You're not supposed to do any clapping. That's because they're too busy backslapping each other because they're slapping each other on the back.
Good point. Like a place where there's no applause, you should come down to our Tuesday gigs.
Oh, yeah, or just come around to my bedroom.
Why would...
I don't know what
that means.
No, hang on.
Why would you expect a round of applause in your bedroom?
Because I work really hard.
Okay.
It's hard to clap though while you've got all those expenses in one hand, and then it's hard to because it muffles. Because look at, all right, hold on. It doesn't sound. See the sound I did there?
It's different. So, do you think we need to update our parliament?
No, I kind of like the little quirky traditions y'all have here.
I suppose. From your point of view, it's quite easy. There is something about watching Black Rod at the opening of Parliament that just goes, really? Really? You are meant to be representing the people, and you've got some guy giving it some...
Open the door. Let us in.
But you know there's people who come into that and look at that door and go, what's up with this little... It's all dinged up. You get a new door, for God's sake.
There is an awful lot of... the old...
Maybe one of these expenses should be not building a moat, replacing that door. Look at this paint job in here.
It makes a good... Well, we do need more space in Parliament, don't we? Because they've run out of space.
What you need are fewer parliamentarians. Having 600 parliamentarians for a country of 70 million people is ridiculous. United States of America has 330 million people.
He's on about America again.
Yep.
330 million people. And we only have 400. I go both ways, man.
Oh, yeah.
You should try it sometime. 435 members in equivalent of the House of Commons, right?
I like about knees.
House of Representatives.
I like a knee that goes
this
both
is an
ways.
Point. 330 million people, right? The ratio there is got some sort of maths involved.
I love knees
then
when
here
driving.
You've got just 70 million, barely, not even 65 million people.
Oh,
and
tendons.
600, it's just too many.
Cruciate ligaments.
I've got two MPs. Oh. One covers the bottom floor of my house, the other covers the top floor of my house. Both of them spend more time with my wife than I do.
Dislocated kneecap. Sorry, you were saying something?
We're off the topic again. No. 650 MPs. No wonder they can't fit. And there's an obesity epidemic in this country.
It's only going to get worse.
That was one of the news stories said. Is it in here? Oh, here we go.
Average backside, isn't it?
Despite having 650 MPs, the Commons Chamber only has room for an average of 427 to sit on the benches, depending on the size of their bottoms.
What have you seen, politicians? Yeah.
So how would you like it to be? It's like you come into the House of Commons and they're like, all right, sorry, only 426 in today because George is here with his big ass.
Well, Eric Pickles. This guy has ruined Parliament right there.
So a vote fails to pass because Pickles turns up.
Yeah, he's In America, you filibuster. We just get pickles blocking the aisle. And I'm assuming the House of Lords is even less space because they've probably got larger, well-paid bottoms. We need more space, though. I mean, we can't trim it down. There is idea. They want to trim. David Cameron wants to trim down from 600. Is it 640 to 600?
It's not even. Yeah, it's not a big reduction. No, I think you need maybe 10.
10. Maybe just 10. 5, like Captain Planet.
Well, we got England. There's one. I'm writing this down again.
Okay.
That's one. I mean, maybe. I guess England's a little bit bigger, so 2.
Okay, 2 for England.
Scotland.
Yeah.
Half.
Half, right, yeah.
Wales.
Which is just the shorter one of the crankies.
Wales, minus 1.
Oh.
And Northern Ireland.
Good job you remembered. Yeah.
Actually, just let them go. Just
some people are like that.
So then we got
so one
2
vote.
Plus 1.5.
1.5 votes.
2.5 minus, take about the 1.
So there's 1.5 votes. So to have a workable majority in the House of Commons, you need 1 parliamentarian.
18.
No idea how you got to 18 at the end of that. Beautiful work, beautiful work. Oh, we're turning this the wrong way around. Instead of trying to modernise, you know, I was thinking just move to somewhere new build. You get more space. There, I'm looking into property at the moment. There are so many like warehouses that have, and factories have been closed down. I can't afford them. I'd love to live in a factory. I mean, amazing. I turn into a sweet shop. Like, I'd make 2 sweets.
We've got actually a story for you for your house moving. Should we move into that?
Well, before we do, I was going to say about, I was thinking, I'm looking at places where you can get a lot of land. Okay. Maybe Parliament should move Essex around the docks area. Yeah, it could flood around Rainham Marshes, but it's cheap, right? So you get a lot of space. We could have space for 640 MPs, but maybe we're doing this the wrong way. Instead of trying to modernise, get something that's nice and new build, the survey's easier to get. But instead, maybe don't moan about, oh, how antiquated. We don't get a mobile phone, but we do have a place to hang our swords, yeah? Well, how about you don't get a phone, you get a sword. And you want to vote? Have a go. Eric Pickles has got a sword. Let's watch you disagree now. Oh, you've stabbed Eric Pickles. Guess what? Didn't hit an organ. Can't find one. You lose.
It's an idea.
Okay. We've got 3 or 4 minutes. Do you want to?
Should we cover it? Because you're looking for property. Okay. We do have a story on that. So.
I'll let you set it up. Here we go.
It's spacious. Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch goes on sale for just a tidy little £65 million. I don't know why they're selling pounds. It's in America. Use real money. The late King of Pop's 2,700-acre estate includes 6 bedrooms. That would be good for you,
no
Steve.
No wonder his lady's dead.
And a 50-seat cinema.
Really?
And 2 lakes.
2 lakes. It's good because I need that spare lake.
Once, twice, 2 lakes and Neverland. I love you. This is my singing episode.
Wow.
So there's some other great features here. He's got the cinema, which you're a fan of the film.
I'm a big fan of the
Bruce
film.
Bruce Willis films.
Can I? Well, he's dead. I'm not going to bother watching that now. There is a cinema, a 50-seater or something.
50-seater.
Yeah, which, I mean, is a bit. It's kind of 49 seats too many, but that's okay. And can I play? I mean, is it just films? I have to buy the official films. And I'm sure if I've got 60 million to drop on a ranch, maybe I'm not too worried. But can. And I'm not saying this is me. I'm just saying in general, could one person, could a person use download of BitTorrents and play the.
I think if you have a cinema, you have to pay the actual fees.
What happens if this one person in general uses a proxy so they can get to the Kickass Torrent website, which continually gets banned, and they can download the 1080p? MP4s?
As long as it's just exclusively knee porn.
Always.
It's fine.
Always.
What else we got here for you? Swimming pool, basketball, and tennis, because you're so sporty. And at one time, had its own fire department.
But what? Oh, cut back.
Things would get so smoking hot. And Jackson paid £13 million back in 1987. He lived there for 15 years.
Wow, and now it's worth $60
million. $60
million, so. He's made a tidy profit.
But it's been rebranded now. It's now called the Sycamore Valley Ranch.
Oh, so now it sounds like a retirement home.
Or a salad dressing. So, I mean, it's up by Sotheby's. I think you've still got a chance to put a bid in.
Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, they want to buy. Is it 65? They're going $10 million under. Said in yesterday's newspapers, they were going. So it's easy to outbid. If you're going to go that much under the asking price, well, you're going to get gazumped, fools.
I could easily bid under that asking price. Let me tell you.
It's quite big. It was $60 million or something. It's quite big. There's all this space with tennis courts. They've got the thing. Maybe we should move Parliament there. Because no, think about it. I know you're looking at me like I'm coming up with a silly answer here. But what you do is this way: it's a double whammy. There will be enough space for the 640 members of parliament to actually turn up there, and it's nowhere near here, so you'd get them out of our way.
There we go.
Problem solved.
Boom.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some bullshit.
Good morning, I'm Steve N. Allen, that's Eric McIlroy, and welcome to Some News. If you'd like to contribute or contribute, either way, you can email steve@fubarradio.com. You can tweet @FubarRadio and send your tweets. That's how you tweet. Let's delve into another story. Hopes raised for treatment of severe amnesia after scientists retrieve lost memories using light. Oh my days, it sounds amazing. Light can retrieve memories. And that's great, there's lots of light around, so that's pretty good news. But then you delve into the story a little more. Lost memories have been retrieved with the help of light in a study that could further the understanding and treatment of patients with severe amnesia. The study on laboratory mice found that they managed to repair the memory. Now, here's my question to you, Mr. Dr. Professor McIlroy.
Yes.
How do you know if a mouse remembers stuff?
Well, if the mouse had forgotten something,
yeah,
and then it remembered it, you'd know.
It'd do that kind of like,
like just, you know, with the mouse just slaps itself upside the head.
So it face part, yeah, or face paws.
Uh-huh. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, I've got a hamster, so he doesn't forget things because hamsters are brighter than mice. So
no, that's just offensive to people who like mice. I need mice, but don't worry about it. They'll probably forget about it unless there's any light near them.
So, I mean, this is an incredible cure because, I mean, if you've misplaced your cheese, this is a big moment for you.
Yeah.
Where's my cheese? There's my cheese over there.
This is how I always remember where my cheese is, right? I'm like, where's my cheese? I need some light. Where can I get a burst of light in my face? I'll go and open the fridge door. Oh, it's my cheese!
You know that old saying, where's my cheese?
So, if you'd like to tell us where your cheese is, tweet @FubarRadio or call 0330 223 0200. Where's your cheese on today's Some New Show?
I think they do little mice mazes.
Right.
It's the mice maze thing. So if the mice can remember his way through the maze, and then they zap him with the light, and or if he's forgotten his way,
if you've just had a bright light in your eyes, and then someone puts you in a maze, you are screwed, my friend. You don't stand a chance. If you remember it or not,
it's going to be amazing if you do.
You didn't.
Oh God.
Cleric on Twitter always tweets about the bad puns. There you go, sir. That's your flipping moment.
I mean, but the thing I liked about this story is interesting. So this is going to help us remember things potentially. I mean, are there any memories that is there anything that you've forgotten that you would like remember?
You know what the answer to that is already, don't you? Is there anything that I've forgotten that I would like to remember? Don't know, can't
remember. Nothing comes to mind.
Yeah,
I couldn't
think of anything. Nothing comes to mind. Oh, so the second phone in today. If there's anything you wish you could remember, let us know. Call 0330-223-0200 or tweet @FubarRadio. Things you wished you could remember.
Or come by the studio and we will shine a light in your face.
Or maybe the security guard will when you try and get in.
Like we have a security guard.
Like we have light. So, I mean, the actual positive side of this story is that most of the research on amnesia for the last few years has been thinking that amnesia is an issue to do with the storage of the memory.
Right.
This proves that if by massaging is the wrong word, but by exciting the neurons to make the pathway build itself again, the memories are still there. With amnesia, the problem is in memory retrieval. The neurons that are involved in memory retrieval are the damaged ones.
Yeah.
I guess not in all of them, but for a lot of this retrograde amnesia lark, you know, like anything that's in a film is always retrograde amnesia, isn't it? Someone gets a bang on the head, some sort of trauma. There's always some kind of film where someone gets a bang on the head, they can't remember stuff, and slowly bits come back, and it's ruined films. This breakthrough would be coming this fall. She gets a bang on the head, and then they put some light in her face, and things are fine.
I'd watch that film.
It's about 5 minutes long. Save yourself some time and come and see Amnesia Girl.
Has it got naked knees?
Can't remember. Speaking of films.
Things you can't remember.
Think of the things you can't remember. Give us a call, 0330, rest of it. I was on the train on the way in and I heard the conversation between three people who might have been from Essex, but they were definitely from Essex. And one of them said, so I went to the cinema this weekend. I went to San Andreas. And the other one said, oh, what's that about? And I gave in on life right there, that moment. I've never got to say this. Last time we did a show, I had a story of a conversation on the Hammersmith and City Line, which I wish to recount. And that was, I heard a couple, conversation hit this point where he just went, if you could be a Twix or a Kit Kat, which would you be? And that couple had a 15-minute conversation on that topic.
Only 15 minutes?
just the brief highlight, she went for Kit Kat because it's posh. He said Kit Kat is lazy because it's not like Snickers, what has got nuts and stuff. It has just got chocolate and biscuit. And I'm sat there going, it's wafer, you... So he pulled me in. I nearly got involved in this conversation. If you say to someone, do you want to be a Twix or a Kit Kat? And they say Kit Kat. Don't slam them with a Snickers.
Yeah.
You should have gone, do you want to be Snickers or Kit Kat? Honestly, some people don't even know how to have a good, proper debate.
I'd go for dark chocolate.
Why is that?
Because that's how I roll.
These are mental images that... Is the picture of us stripping gone on Twitter as well now? Oh, good God. So imagine that. You've just heard Eric McElroy has just been saying that he likes the idea of rolling in dark chocolate. I think I can paraphrase that properly. If you go to Twitter, if you go to @FUBARRadio on Twitter, you can see a picture of us two undressing. The things we do to publicise this little radio show.
Or to shut it down.
Either way.
Right. Like? Are we moving on to the next story in this quarter hour?
You can move on to the next story. I'm just going to check out what I look like when I'm stripping. So.
A little siesta can make you less racist, claim scientists. The bizarre finding comes from a unique experiment in which participants were trained before going on a 90-minute nap. They were shown an array of faces linked with maths or science-related words. They were then shown black faces linked with pleasant words. The two sounds associated with each were played back through the task. So the idea is to reduce racial and gender stereotypes, and as they were in a deep sleep, once they came out of that sleep, they were less racist.
So, more sleep, less racist, less stereotypes.
Yep.
Yep.
Apparently.
Then, why aren't the Spanish less offensive? See, now, what I thought we'd achieve there is irony, because then people would think, oh, that's a terrible national stereotype. I'm worried that's not clear enough, so I wanted to explain that after
the comment. Thing is that you have to, the listener needs to know that Steve and I don't really get a lot of sleep. I'm averaging about 5.5 hours a night these days.
Really?
Yeah, 6 hours a night, I think.
Probably had less than five.
I hate other people.
Oh, right. So I think, I see where you're going with here.
It's not that I'm racist. It's that I'm tired. That's what this study proves. I thought I was racist.
Yep.
This just turns out I'm just a little bit sleepy and don't like other... But the thing is,
yep,
it's made me racist towards white people.
Oh, hate them.
Yep. I know. So I hate... That's more of a self-loathing kind of thing.
With the inability to dance and other stereotypes.
Oh,
and,
God. I hate my inability to dance.
Spanish people sleep a lot, apparently. So that's a thing. I'm just thinking that Clarkson job is still going, and I can drive okay, so I should start with.
Yeah, because Nigel Farage stayed with UKIP, so he didn't go for it.
Yeah, I mean, that guy is rubbish at quitting. I mean, Nigel Farage, if you smoke, keep smoking, because you are shit at quitting.
I think that's why Sepp Blatter stayed on. He thought, well, if Nigel Farage can do it, I'm going to do it.
Which is good. I mean, I suppose it would have made, you know, the employment figures worse. So at least he's still got a job.
So there you go. So, I mean, do you think you sleep enough to not be a racist?
It is tricky because I'm from the north, so maybe I should up my sleep. I think I do get more sleep than you, but it's really weird and patchy. I never see you on a day when I've had sleep because of when we work together.
Uh-huh.
But in, like, Thursdays are brill. I sleep, I don't do anything from, like, Wednesday night. Very rarely get a gig on Wednesday night. My career's going well. Follow me on Twitter. And then I sleep all the way through late Thursday. Mm-hmm. What have I got to do on Thursday? I've got, like, one bit of writing to do. For hours. And then I love all peoples.
And what?
I love all peoples.
You love old peoples?
All peoples.
Oh, love all peoples.
Because I believe the children are the future. And we are the world.
We are the world. Oh, don't
Bruce Willis dead. Sorry.
So, I guess, I mean, I do, you know, I balance out because I do often take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I kind of I pull back a little bit. Like, by about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm ready to put on a white hood. Take a little snooze. Put that white hood on the pillow.
That's what's handy about there. It doubles as a sheet. You get a little sleep.
That's why all those people wore sheets for years. They weren't racist. They were tired.
They were tired. We've solved it.
Oh,
we are solving it left, right, and centre on the show today. We'll delve into some more news on the way shortly.
Some news with Steve Allen and Eric McElroy. News the way it shouldn't be done.
Good morning, I'm Stephen Allen. That is Eric McElroy. Good trip so far?
Yeah.
Good toilet trip? Don't want to give away too much of the showbiz world, but...
2 minutes. That was... It's the stairs.
Why are you out of breath?
Because... It was a big wee.
Big wee. Oh, the mental images get worse on this show. Here's an issue I think we should deal with. First, arrests have been made for man-spreading. Now, I know I do rant a lot about public transport on this here show, and I'm not about to stop now. Two men from Brooklyn were arrested for man-spreading. Mr. Eric McElroy, do you know what man-spreading is?
I do now.
Okay.
I've seen it many times. Yeah. I've been the victim of it.
You've been the victim of man-spreading?
I've been distracted by it, and I've enjoyed it, but I didn't know what it was.
Would you like to explain what manspreading is?
It's when the man,
okay,
the men like ourselves, are sitting down,
yeah,
and on the buttocks, and we're sitting with our legs, and because of the packages that are between our legs, the legs must be very open. Okay.
So why are you doing that character from Father of the Bride? Why are you doing that voice?
I don't know where this voice is coming from, but it's describing the big penis.
Oh.
And so the legs open up, the legs open up,
yeah,
and they push against the other people's. On their bottom.
Other people's penises?
The bottom. No, not the penises. The legs. The legs push. And because the penis push, the legs apart.
I think this is, we've discovered a character for this show. I think
we have. Yes, I just need to remember to talk about the man spreading. I don't know what accent that is.
I mean, it's foreign. Or it's one of those people that's had a stroke and woke up with an accent. You know those? Don't mind that. Yes, it's a phenomenon that's happening. I mean, it happens everywhere, but in America they call it man-spreading.
I'd never heard this phrase before, though. Had you?
Tom Hanks was caught doing it, and, you know, James Corden does a show out there.
Yep.
How did that happen? How am I on FUBAR and he's on Tonight Show or whatever? Anyway.
Believe me, I mean, no, we've just seen this... Comedians and acts get ahead of us all the time, as I've just learned this morning.
Don't get bitter, and don't get even either, because you're not going to manage it. So, the Tom Cruise, with his little legs, he could spread them as far as you want. He still wouldn't feel the seat. Unless you wore those World War One fighter pilot trousers, you know, the big thighs,
parachute pants.
Okay, that's not where you put the parachute. The parachute's on the backpack, isn't it? You can't have a parachute on your pants.
There was a thing called parachute pants.
If you pull the cord, you'll be dangling from your bum as you...
No, they're baggy. I'll Google them for you.
Okay. Yeah, you Google that, and later on when we start talking about public nudity, I'll Google that, all right? Okay. Okay.
So, this is often a thing that comedians use when you've got a man in the front... I'm drawing this. Got a man in the front row at a comedy club, and he's sitting there with his legs all spread. And then you go, oh, look at that guy. I think he's got a big penis. It's just a good little MC.
Yeah.
Not one of those original lines.
Oh, no.
And it's kind of like, where'd you learn how to whistle in a...
Where'd you learn how to whisper? Do you mean whisper?
Whisper.
That would be more MCing. Do come along to the gigs that we do. I want to see you MC that. Hey, where'd you learn how to whistle? A helicopter? Why? Because she's very bad at it. I've not heard one whistle all night. You people are rubbish whistlers.
I can't whistle.
We've not even started the story and the music bed's finished. That's what I love about the attention to detail. So in America, there actually have been arrests. Only one documented case. So there's a list of various... Oh, you've Googled parachute pants.
Yeah, I'll
Oh, okay, nice. The issue of having your legs too wide, it's actually contravened some of the rules of the underground thing that you have over there, the subway, but they don't serve food, so that was a rip-off. And if you sit with your legs too far, if you occupy more than one seat, it is against their rules, if it is putting other people out.
Ironically, in a country, it's illegal to occupy one seat with the levels of obesity we have in the United States.
You're all going to be criminals. Which is why America has one of the highest rates of prison population. Because you're all bigger than seats.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually had this as a rant. I don't think I've done it here, but quite often you get airlines charge people two seats. If they're so fat, they have to buy two seats.
Yeah.
I totally disagree with that. If people are getting bigger, and I'm not saying it's good that we are, but if you're in the business of selling seats to people and people are getting bigger, make bigger seats. Stop trying to charge us twice. You are selling a ticket to a person unless you actually want to give way and start charging people on how much they weigh.
Yeah. Well, Oh, sorry.
There was one airline that tried to do this, and I disagree with it because I weigh quite a lot. I'm tall. So it doesn't matter what kind of a diet I go on. I'm always going to weigh more than some short person. Mm. Short people are going to get free holidays. Not fair.
And they already do. I've already seen them. They stand on each other's shoulder with a long raincoat and then get straight through that passport control to rip off is what it is.
I know. And the whole thing with the two seats, because they, you know, they make you buy two seats, but they can't always guarantee those two seats will be together.
Ouch. Yeah. So, but manspreading. You can take up one seat. It's not an obesity thing. It's to do with width of legs. Sometimes you do see that it's going too far. Mm. I hate that it's called manspreading, though. Let's not have the name of my gender in this offence. Manslaughter, I'll give you that. It's another one. Yeah.
And if a woman wants to spread her legs, that's fine. I can't say that, can I?
No, you can say it. I mean, you did say it.
You know, the problem is, I mean, you mentioned the crime, or the overpopulation of prisons in the United States, and those prisons are predominantly overpopulated by men of African-American descent. Ergo, you've got this.
I'm worried. I don't know who's taking it. Okay, I'm worried. Okay.
Lots of African-American men are imprisoned.
There's a button that I can press that dumps us off air.
Manspreading epidemic.
Have you not had enough sleep? Because this is sounding very racist.
It's not racist. It's okay. Just I'm just saying, just we got a manspreading problem.
A little power nap before you do the rest of this sentence.
And they're
just
arrested.
To make sure. Okay.
Lots of black men in the manspreading.
I'm going to make you follow through the logic now. What's the logic?
Because there's some people have implied in the past, not myself, because I've had lots of sleep today, that I'm going to want to rescind this whole conversation. Can I back out of this now?
He's tired. So manspreading, do you think it's that much of a crime that you should the two people who were arrested for it, by the way, they're arrested at 12:11 a.m. As if you're going to, it can't be that packed that your manspreading is affecting someone.
That's where I think in the story there were some concerns that this was not a legitimate charge.
I think, if there's any spare space on the tube carriage, then people should be allowed to occupy that space with the wideness of the legs. Sometimes, I'm actually going to defend manspreading. Sometimes on a really hot day, you can't sit with... It's more of an arm thing for me, and this is good, because then we've moved away from the genitals, because I don't keep mine in my arms. Sometimes if you're on the tube thing... I mean, I've got a bit of width on me, right? Look at this. Look at these shoulders, eh? Oh, yeah.
I thought you just had a fat back.
Gadoosh. But if I'm on a tube seat, I'm just going to mime sitting in a tube seat here, right? The arms are about there. So if someone wants to be up close here, and someone wants to be up close here, I have to put my arms closed so that my armpits are a closed deal. Mm. I do not like my armpits being a closed deal on a hot tube because it's a sweaty situation. Now, I imagine people with large legs might do the same in the crotchage area.
So you're thinking this is a sweaty balls problem?
It's a sweaty balls problem.
Yeah.
And I know I shouldn't be raising the issue of sweaty balls. This is the cock show. We've talked about it. But I think it's about time we addressed very much the elephant in the room. Well, it looks a bit like an elephant.
I'm just a little bit worried with the story. We're just getting a little too serious.
Okay. If you have problems with sweaty balls, and of course...
Or sweaty cock.
Exactly. We're not just... this is open to men or women. If you have problems with sweaty balls, you can call 0330-223-0200 or tweet a picture... No, tweet at FUBAR Radio and tell us the problem. I think this is a serious issue. Sweaty balls. It's not nice.
Well, all right. Or a sweaty vagina.
I mean, if I could choose...
Can you have a sweaty vagina? Don't look at Amanda.
we're on our own. Okay.
You've had
not willing to.
If you've had a sweaty vagina, could you tweet us at FUBAR Radio? That would be the best tweet the station's ever gotten, I think, wouldn't it?
The best is a word.
I would imagine we could classify as a unique tweet.
Yeah. At FUBAR Radio, today we are investigating the issue of sweaty vaginas. It must happen. I mean, on a hot day, I've never owned one. I'm cis, is what we call it.
When I woke up this morning, tired and racist, I didn't think that I would get the chance, live on air, to say sweaty vagina. And I'm just proud to say that that moment has happened.
Making dreams come true. 0330-223-0200 and tweet at FUBAR Radio talking sweaty vaginas. Do you know what? I think this is a good time to move into the next. This whole hour is going to be very naked related.
Yep.
We might as well. All right, we'll move on to this one.
we'll do it. We'll do this one quick. Of the pensioner who's placed an ad for a naked cleaner in local newsagents.
Oh, yeah.
Now, straight away, you read that, you go, what a disgusting, dirty old man. I mean, obviously not that dirty. Someone else is doing the cleaning. But it's disgraceful. Oh, dirty old man wanting to watch a woman naked. Oh, pervy, perv, perverson. And gets 11 applications in 1 week. Okay, well, it looks like we might be finding a supply and demand issue. The 69-year-old demands are simple. Wash the dishes, a bit of dusting, and general tidying, all in the buff for £20. He means £20 an hour, by the way. I read this and I was like, well, I'll do it for 20 quid. But £20 an hour.
That's a good wage.
It's not bad at all. He's a self-confessed voyeur, and there's so much in this story that I find troublesome, but there's the bit where basically it's whatever consenting people wish to get up to in their own lives, up to you. But it just feels so.
I mean, I wish, because people think, oh, I do 20 minutes work comedy, I got paid £200 for a gig. Yeah, okay, well, that's good money. 20 minutes work. Well, when you start to look at the drive time that we often have, you end up making less than the minimum wage, right? I've done 10-hour journeys, basically to do 20 minutes work for £200. So I would love to make £20 an hour, and if I have to, I'm willing to expose my sweaty vagina to make that kind of money. I'd do it. But I'm not a very good cleaner. So
oh, is that what's holding you back from this?
Probably not going to get that job.
I knew there'd be a reason. There's a quote from this. He refers to himself as John, not his real name. It could be his real name. But, you know, he might have come up...
He's kind of the John in this story.
He's very much the John. He slammed left-wing feminists with nothing else to say for criticising his advert. The point is, right, get up to whatever you want in your own life. He says that everyone has a part of our life that remains private. Yeah, I've got a part of my life that remains private. I'll tell you how I keep it private. I do not advertise it in the local newsagents.
And you keep your pants on.
Oh, although I do talk about knee fetishes on internet radio. But, I mean, you know, I don't ask for naked knees in my...
Do you are you a naked cleaner? Do you encourage naked cleaning in your house?
I think quite often, some days in the summer, it's very important to stay cool when cleaning. And this is not me heading towards another sweaty ball joke. I'm serious. If you're cleaning and no one can see you, I think it's better to clean not wearing a lot. You don't want to get all sweaty. You build up quite a lot of sweat when you're cleaning. So I often clean in the nude. And I could be earning £20 an hour for this. I'm not getting anywhere near that.
Some people might even pay you £20 an hour just to keep your clothes on.
Okay, we'll look into that on the way next.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McElroy, bringing you the news the way you want to hear it.
Good morning, I'm Steve Ann Allen, that is Eric McElroy, and this is Some News on FUBAR Radio, the show that looks at some news stories, and, well, looks could be exactly the right verb for this one. World Naked Bike Ride. Nude cyclist removed by police after complaints he was aroused is the headline in one of the newspapers today. This is on the Canterbury one, I believe. There's a bike ride, the nude bike ride, to raise awareness of traffic issues. Maybe we're using the cars too much. There was maybe controversy in the way that one of the events happened today, but we can find out more by speaking to someone who knows about this whole area of naturism, I believe would be the phrase, I'm not sure. We're joined by Suzanne Piper, editor of Naturist Life magazine, and was present at Saturday's ride in Cambridge. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello and good morning. And it was Canterbury on Saturday.
All right. So that was the one where all the action took place, wasn't it?
There was no action at all, really. It's typical media. And basically, the World Nature Bike Rides are not a naturist event. They're two separate things.
This is an interesting thing. I think these days, you've been in naturism for,
1976.
Wow.
In that very hot summer, which was probably before you were even a twinkle.
Do you know what? That's very good of you indeed. It was 1977 was when I first started being naked for an awful lot.
Was that your first twinkle?
That was, yes. But then I wore more clothes. So you've done this for a long while. I think we've noticed since the Calendar Girls, a lot of things are trying to raise awareness or raise money for charity using nudity as the bolt-on to any activity that they do.
Yes, that was very popular. But I think that that's actually lost impetus now anyway.
Well, I wish
because nakedness is so commonplace. But at least Calendar Girls took nakedness out from sexual.
Mm.
It made it an asexual thing or a non-sexual thing and perhaps got people thinking you can be nude without being rude.
But this is the interesting thing. This brings us nicely onto the story about what happened in Canterbury. There's a naked bike ride. They were raising awareness of traffic pollution and traffic problems. And it's a place where maybe they need more buses. Maybe they do have gridlock on their streets. They're raising the point about cyclist vulnerability as well. In some ways, yeah. Being naked on a bike shows vulnerability. For a short bike ride, you want to do it for a long bike ride, I imagine. But this idea of separating out nudity from sexualness is where this is where the story is, isn't it? That there was a man who was taken to one side and asked to put his jeans back on when he became aroused, is the phrase that they use.
And of course, the media and it was done very discreetly, but one of the media photographers was there, caught a photograph.
Ah, yes, go on.
No, most bystanders, and I suspect those that were quoted as saying it was horrible, didn't actually see anything. I was right by the bloke.
All right. Oh, well,
there you go.
Take that as a compliment. I think, I've read those quotes as well. I don't have it in front of me. It's something like, it was a horrible sight. Yeah, so yes. One eyewitness.
And I would say that these people were just saying something for the media. They're 5 seconds of fame.
Yeah, well, maybe six now they've been mentioned on FUBAR. Because it seems like there's something of a double standard, that in the same news story, the police are quoted as being, say, oh, we're just there to help the event, we're trying to help this, the police have no problem with this idea of a naked bike ride, you can have as many naked people on bikes, and it says in the article that it was mainly men, so that there's certainly a lot of men there being naked.
I have ridden that ride before, but unfortunately I broke my ankle quite badly. Ooh. Otherwise I would have been riding.
So,
but
did you still turn up?
Women on the ride do find that there are some of the bystanders when you get into quite close up to public that will grope.
Oh, really? Well, I suppose at least you're on a bike, you can stay away from them.
Well, no, because if you're going through a fairly busy area, it doesn't always happen. You know, you can have stop-start. And I know that when I did the London ride, I was groped on a few occasions. And it's just people being stupid.
I suppose, even that is just, it's more childish than anything else one would imagine.
Oh, yes, you know.
But here's the double standard that strikes me. So you have many naked bodies all over the place, which is basically saying, penises out in public, have some penises. Canterbury, for one bike ride, can have a lot of...
But if you're on a bike, you can't see it.
Well, so this guy gets slightly aroused, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, but the worst thing you could ever have in public is a slightly aroused man. By this story, it looks like a double standard, that we're perfectly fine with penises when they look like, a soon-to-be-expiring shrew, perfectly fine. But if they're a little bit excited, then all of a sudden it's the worst thing that you could ever see in the history of ever.
No, this is the media that's blown this up.
Exactly. So why? I mean, why is it in trying to raise awareness specifically? Because as a naturalist, is it just for you? Is it an issue of that we should just be happy and comfortable being nude, but then linking it with something to raise awareness? I mean,
been skinny dipping?
Sorry.
Have you ever been skinny dipping?
I never have. No.
Oh, you really ought to try it, because then you'd actually know how wonderful it is to go swimming in the nude. You wouldn't ever want to wear a costume again.
I have bathed a lot nude.
Well, yes, but that's not quite the same.
So what's the difference then? What's so good about it?
If we use the word skinny dip, then people can understand a bit more about what naturism is about.
Right.
A very large proportion of the public have actually been for skinny dip.
So I can see the appeal of skinny dipping. I just have never had the opportunity. But that to me is a big leap to then suddenly think I'm going to get naked and bicycle through a town center.
But that's a different. Not all those people are naturists. There will be naturists there because naturists are very keen on the environment. They always have been, because the definition of naturism talks about respect for yourself, for the environment, and for others.
Right.
And this is a definition that dates back to 1964.
Okay.
Way before I became a naturist. So, in fact, we were the first Greens. And in our clubs and that, we we're known for doing all the work ourselves, for recycling things, reusing things. Tremendous sense of community mm-hmm. within naturism. And this is why the naturists, although the bike rides are nothing to do with naturism, there will be a lot of naturists who will go and support them.
So they're just trying to, by bringing in a level of nudity into these bike rides to raise awareness, so they're not trying to just make it a little bit more scandalous, a little bit more titillating?
No, basically the point they're making is drivers do not see cyclists, and that includes motorcyclists actually, when they're on a bike.
Right. But if they were naked all the time.
But when they get naked, everybody sees.
That's, you know, I've just gotten a bicycle, to be honest.
I can be on my bike with my helmet, with reflectors on it, my jacket with reflectors on it, reflectors on the bike, and cars will come up to me far, far too close. If I take the primary position, which is halfway out into the road, which is far safer, especially around the windy lanes of Kent, because you can't see what's... If I can't see what's coming round the corner, you can't, who's trying to overtake me.
Right.
So therefore, by adopting the primary position, I'm less likely to end up in the ditch. Around here, there's a lot of ditches with a lot of water. So if I got hit on my head and went into a ditch, I would drown.
So this is an issue of cycling safety.
Cycling safety. But the primary purpose of the World Naked Bike Rides is actually about our dependency on fossil fuels, oil, which, as we know, we use a tremendous amount of it, both for cars. If cycling was safer, we'd be able to use our cars less. But also by transporting things in lorries. A lot of the products we use are made from petrochemicals. And because of this dependency on petrochemicals, this is why we get involved with the situations out in the Middle East.
Wow, so we've gone from...
I'm actually moving you on to a far broader thing than the basic thing about the World Naked Bike Rides. Mm. Because if we were less dependent on petrochemicals... And we
would be naked.
We weren't using so many air miles to bring in food and fruits out of season. You know, buy local stuff.
I've often thought there are many benefits from having this kind of point of view. Certainly, if we were naked more often, then getting through security in airports would actually be quicker.
Well, yes, there's always been that joke about, you know, if we did that.
Good.
Well, I would definitely, if I had to go out naked, I would be going fewer places and using less petrol.
But on a bike, though, you should be wearing high vis. Surely you've made yourself less visible by not wearing things.
People still don't see the high vis.
Oh, really?
But they will see a naked body. There was a superb advert by Holford's a couple of years ago, which was their Think Bike campaign, and they were giving out lots and lots of stickers for people to put on their wing mirrors to remind them to look for bikes.
Okay. Oh, right. I didn't know where you were going to go with that.
Halfords was doing some look for naked bikers.
Yeah.
That would be...
Halfords did actually do a very good advert.
If there was a chance for more naked bikers, I would look out more. Probably, but then I would probably get talked to by the police.
So, how often? So, as a naturist, how often do you partake in your lifestyle?
Whenever I can get to the club or to one of the local beaches, whenever the weather's suitable enough.
At home, do you do?
If it's warm enough, I may not bother to get dressed in the morning because I work from home.
Right.
Obviously, with publishing the magazine.
What's the weather like in Kent at the moment?
Dull, overcast, grey.
You know what the question is, don't you? Is today one of those days where you would...
No, it's not. The central heating automatically came on, and it is actually set quite low because, again, I'm trying to think about, you know, what fuel I use.
That's true. We're all told to wear a jumper to try and turn our heating down.
Yeah.
But not only
will you be saving money, but you will actually be saving the planet.
Well, there we go. Somehow, we've managed to get the editor of Naturist Life magazine to recommend putting a jumper on.
Yes, when it's cold.
Well, I did not expect, and we know how we can tell it's cold as well. Listen, Suzanne Piper, thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, then.
So there we go. I think we've learnt...
when she was talking about the primary position in the ditch... My mind just went to total wrong direction.
I think we should give ourselves... today we've been some of the most childish forms of ourselves that we've ever been. And we've got through a discussion about naked bike rides with a naturist. And we didn't take it base. We didn't do, you know, if someone was going to say dyke, because of the ditch thing. Obviously, we'd have been high-fiving like idiots. We ended up talking about fossil fuel reliance and wars in the Middle East.
That was... Her ability to go from making a left turn in Kent as a right turn into the Middle East,
yeah.
Petrochemicals, that was an incredible leap.
It's almost like she's used to dealing with childish people who wish to do silly jokes about nudity. It's almost like that.
Considering she's been doing this since you were just a twinkle.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy, bringing you the news the way you want to hear it.
Good afternoon. So into the final hour on Some News. Hello, I'm Steve Ann Allen. That would be your Eric McIlroy. And the final hour is when things get a little bit crazier. Well, I don't want to know. It can't be crazy. We've just done a show that's entirely about nudity for some reason. I know. We all know what the reason is. And let's not address it. But it's been a fun show. If you've missed any of the nudity-related activities that have happened on this show, you can listen back to the podcast, you can do the listen again thing and the app with the thing and the thing. This is why I don't write, frequently asked questions. And if you press F1 for help on a computer, you will never read any of that written by me. Do the thing with the button and then download. And, yeah.
You nailed it.
Thank you. Could have been an expert in this. Could have been on the Geek Squad. But if you, so you could download the podcast, have a look on iTunes. I'm sure you'll be able to find it. Into this hour, we do like to look at some of the slightly weirder news stories. And it's not just us doing the research. It's nice to get some update from our regular correspondent. It's Mary. Hello.
Hello.
So you've got some info. I want at it. Give me that sweet, sweet info. What's been happening in America?
Well, I'm going to give you a guess on what great state this story comes from.
I love this. It's my favorite quiz. It's called Guess Which Florida the Stupid Stories Are Coming From.
Exactly. You got it in one. Now, the headline says the whole story, but I will fly some details. Pantsless man blames public indecency charge on lost trousers.
But already, I'm backing him on this. Already, it makes a lot of sense. If you lose your trousers, yeah.
It does.
Okay, what happened to this guy?
Well, he was arrested for public intoxication initially, but he also was arrested for indecent exposure because he was carrying an open 24-ounce can of Bud Light, as one does, and he wasn't wearing anything below his shirt apart from his shoes.
Do you know what? I mean, it's a bit of an insult to the prowess of his manliness that people notice the drink first.
I know, yeah, I know.
It's like, this guy walking out of the
can, you know? I mean, hey, wafting it around.
So he was legless and trouserless. Good start. Yeah.
Legless and trouserless, exactly. So he seemed, they said he, despite his intoxication, he seemed surprised that they were so interested in his lack of garments because this is the quote they have. "What's wrong, officer? I live right there and I was going to get some pants right now. I was coming home from the beach and I realized I had lost my pants over there, so I was coming home to get a fresh pair." So he had it all planned out. His pants might have been gone. Who knows where the underwear didn't even come into the equation. Maybe he had some, maybe he didn't. Never specified how they were lost to start with, but he was on his way to get more. So really, is it fair for them to persecute him for this?
Exactly. There used to be a TV show in this country called Rough Justice, where the TV show would investigate a crime where someone was wrongly charged. This one should be exactly that. What else? Right. Imagine, come with me on a journey through the hypothetical land. If you lose your trousers, what are you going to do? If you live right there, you're going to go home and get some trousers. You're not going to walk to the shops, because that way you're walking around with your dingle out in the middle of a shop.
No, that he was on his way. Yeah. You know, he was already going.
Poor guy.
He was charged with indecent exposure and an open container violation. I mean, insult to injury, right?
Yes.
So the open container probably was his garment, but, you know, it's neither here nor there. So he was released, thankfully, on his own recognizance, and now he's just going to be the butt of everyone's jokes.
He's going to be the butt of everyone's jokes. Oh, thank heavens that wasn't the open container he had.
I know.
Lovely. Well, there's a surprise that it was from Florida as well. Thank you very much. Then again, lovely weather there. If you're going to walk around with bits out, might as well get an all-over tan.
They got sun everywhere. Why not the moon too, right?
Thanks very much for the update.
You're very welcome.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy. News the way it shouldn't be done.
Really is the nudity show today.
It is.
Really is.
Wow.
So I've come up with a new feature for us as well. You know, this is the hour when we look through the sillier news stories.
Yes, it is.
I think I have bested everything, I found the most pointless news story
get
of
out.
The week.
Get out.
I made a jingle.
I mean it. Get out. I'm taking over the show.
It already is out. It might as well be on this show. I've made a jingle for this news story. I don't know whether to play the jingle first or I'll give you the headline and then the jingle and then you'll know why.
And then we'll read the story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mystery of holes in Swiss cheese solved.
The most pointless.
Pointless.
News story ever.
Ever.
Researchers say the holes are caused by tiny particles of hay, contradicting the old wives' tale that mice are responsible. Scientists have finally solved a mystery that has baffled them for a century. Seriously, look for other mysteries. The Swiss cheese, it's got holes in it. How do those holes get there? Apparently, it's to do with microscopic small hay particles that get into the milk and create the holes in the liquid as the liquid matures into cheese. The fact that things are now cleaner these days means that there are actually fewer holes in Swiss cheese.
Sorry, I missed that because I was making a list of things that scientists could be doing that would be important, like helping life expectancy,
oh, yeah.
energy solutions,
oh, okay.
curing cancer,
oh, okay.
Ebola. Sorry, oh. oh yeah, Swiss cheese holes.
Swiss cheese holes.
Jesus.
So, there we have it. The mystery of holes in Swiss cheese is solved. That is...
The most pointless...
Pointless.
News story ever.
Ever.
I like a good bed like that. For the people who don't know, that's what that is called. Apparently,
no,
is a bed.
No, it's not.
That's not a bed.
No.
What is that?
That's a sting.
That's a sting.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not dry because the sound effects and the sound effects have a note in it, so you couldn't play it over an intro.
A bed.
No, a bed's a music bed.
It's bed's a music bed. Yeah. Sting. The gurgly sound.
Sweet, yeah. Oh, the gurgly sound.
That makes me feel like.
Do you know what I find most offensive about that is that what you should be saying is, whoever does that voiceover, I hope they're available on various places on the website to hire for voiceovers because I would like to use them for a voiceover.
The most pointless.
Pointless.
News story ever.
Ever. Ever.
Yep. If you hadn't stopped me, I was going to say that next.
No. Okay.
So.
Let's move on.
I like. Is that a bed?
This is a bed. But actually, while we're here, seeing as we always go through this stuff, it's a bed, but sometimes I feel you go in too early. This is effectively, even though there's no production at the start, it's like a top and bed. So
right.
You don't talk over the top, it's like a bed. By the way, there's a donut where you've got to hit the mark at the end so there's like production on either side. You have just learned basics in doing crappy radio for the commercial sector in the 2000s to 2010.
All right.
Ready? For a top and bed?
Hold on. What story am I doing?
Oh, my God. We are... that's a good point. You'd written it down.
Are we...
You wanted to do...
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready with the one that you wanted to do? Because I was going to do Swiss cheese. And you were like, can you do that quickly? I said, don't worry, I'll just play the jingle. I might have done slightly more than just play the jingle. I might have accidentally advertised for voiceovers.
And we did have it. And I tried to compliment you on it, and you got defensive.
You ready?
You took it in the wrong direction.
You ready?
So you're going to give me the cue when I should go into this, so
yeah.
I go in at the right point.
You ready? It'll be really subtle. There we go.
U.S. National Spelling Bee ends in a tie for the second year running. The National Spelling Bee ends in a tie for the second year running with the one victor, Vanya 13, the sibling of the past champion. So,
when you say ends in a tie, how are we spelling that?
Genius. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to give you some of the words that were in the Spelling Bee that these 13 and 12-year-olds had to answer.
Can I just say, while you're finding those words, can I just say, early doors, I don't think that the ability to spell is in any way indicative of someone's intelligence. I think the fact that I use the word indicative should score me more points than the fact that I'm about to fail my ass. I can't spell.
Now,
at school, I was bad at spelling, I was bad at adding. But when it got around to A-levels, they don't check that business. All of a sudden, I did all right. So, I can't spell.
Now, I don't know why these two U.S. teenagers were into spelling. Their names are Gokul Venkachalam and Vanya Shavanskakar.
So, the French guy, yeah, from early on. Yeah.
I think those are Sri Lankan names.
Oh.
Yes, but they are long, and I have butchered them. But maybe that's why they have an interest in spelling, because their names are so long. They figure, I got a natural skill here, because I can spell my own name. And so now I can spell other names. Because this is the local Sri Lankan accent. You know what I mean?
No. Are you good at spelling?
No.
Do you think that spelling is actually useful these days? Why do I need to be able to spell? I can under... You know, it gets underlined in red on my phone these days.
I don't even believe I need to be articulate.
With the spell check on my phone is not great, but on the computer, thanks to the whole Google thing, you can really mangle up. I do that. I don't know how to spell this, but I'm just going to have a general sense of it. Mm. I do that with my phone with the swipe typing. I don't know how to spell this word, but I will roughly make this rough shape of where the letters roughly are, and it'll probably guess it.
Yeah,
and I go, oh, you spell cough like that. Oh, that's weird.
That's how Shakespeare did all his writings. Just
and he spelled stuff wrong, and then we just start spelling it the way he did.
Okay, so do you know how I'm going to give you a word, then okay. You know the spelling bee format. You say the word, then you spell the word, and then you say the word again. Okay. That's how you do it. Okay.
Okay.
So let's see. I've got to pick one of these words. These are the final words of the. The problem I'm having is that all the words that were in the final, I don't know how to pronounce.
Oh, that's a good start.
All right, here we go.
Yep.
Nunatak.
Nunatak.
And you can ask me to.
Can you use that in a sentence, please?
Let's see. That.
There was a nun came at me, and I was like, ha! Nunatak! Is that it?
I've just climbed over the Nunatak.
N-U-N. I'm going straight
down. Go back. Yep. Stop it. You got to say the word.
Nunatak.
And then spell the word.
Nunatak. N-U-N-A-T-A-K.
You got it. And then you say it again.
Nunatak.
Well done. There you go. All right. Next word. Felicite. Felicite.
Felicite.
Yep.
P-H. What was the word again?
Felicite. Felicite.
P-H. Felicite. Okay. P-H-E-L-A-C-I-T-E. Felicite.
Do we have a sting that's like a... Would that be a sting?
Yeah. There we go.
The most
that there noise. I don't know if I can handle that. No, that is incorrect. Felicite. F-I-L-I-C-I-T-E.
Oh, felicite.
Oh, do you know what it means?
It is a small particle that is used in the production of the hole in Swiss cheese.
It's a fossil fern. Oh, nice try. All right, should we do one more?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to find the ones I can pronounce. Okay. Backfish.
Backfish.
Backfish. And let's see. I just cooked me up some backfish.
Then that is B-A-K-F-I. Sorry. Backfish. B-A. I'm going to go C-K. No, actually just B-I-C. B-A-C. Back. B-A-C-F-I-S-C-H-E.
Ugh. Drop the E, add a K, and you'd have it. It's B-A-C-K-F-I-S-C-H. Backfish.
Oh, now it's spelled without an E, but in the true original form.
In the German, it would have been, that'd be, actually, no, because it's a German word, so it would have been backfische if you added the E at the end. That much I do know.
I think you just made that a Canadian word.
Eh? So there's some other words here. Those are the ones I can pronounce.
Those weren't tough ones. Yeah. Do you know what's most annoying about spelling bees? It's just flipping 12-year-olds who can do it.
I know.
Oh, winding me right up.
Yeah, but I bet they aren't getting any.
No, that's true. Yeah, good point. Moving on. Right, we'll delve into some more news next.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McElroy, bringing you the news the way you want to hear it.
Afternoon, Steve Ann Allen and Eric McElroy talking about the news on some news. Good afternoon. Let's delve into another one. Not yet. Now.
PETA demands Britain's oldest pub changes its name to show compassion for animals. Animal rights groups say Ye Olde Fighting Cocks in St. Albans should update its name to Ye Olde Clever Cocks to reflect a change in society's attitudes.
Oh, so we're not banning the cock, we're banning the fighting.
Are they clever cocks? Are cocks clever? Do we have... Is that who we have as an expert to tell us about cocks?
Well, if they're not fighting anymore, it seems like a step in the right
direction. I got myself a clever cock right here.
Do you know what? When we pre-showed meeting this one, I was like, oh, how ridiculous. But they're not banning the...
They're not banning the cock.
You know what?
They're banning the fight
fighting
in the
yeah.
cock.
Maybe there's... It's not the fight in the cock, it's the cock in the fight. What? There's...
Interesting.
I thought I was going to be against this, but actually maybe I think this is a good idea, which means this is going to be more of a battle when we speak to an expert, because we're joined on the line by Jeff Brandwood, a pub historian who works closely with CAMRA, the Campaign for Real Ale, an author of books on the subject, including Britain's Best Heritage Pubs. Hello, Jeff.
Hello. Good day.
So are you against this? Do you like the idea of retaining the names of these pubs?
Well, I just think it is the most preposterous things I've heard for ages, you
really?
Know. I mean, this name's been around for centuries, and I cannot understand why somebody should want to change it. I mean, it sounds a bit to me like they're like ISIS at the moment, sort of denying their past, having nothing to do with it. You know, the past is the past, and we haven't. Cockfighting was banned in this country, pleased to say, in 1835, and it just reflects a bit of our history. You know, losing this sort of stuff, it impoverishes us all, you know.
Although there are some things that I guess have been banned in this country that are against the law, that we don't refer to, you know, some of the... I guess there aren't many pubs named after, you know, setting fire to women because we're calling them witches. That would be a bad thing. We don't really, you know, go for a nice night out in the burnt stump of a woman anymore. So maybe
I don't think. Oh, well, we've liked it to be any pubs with such names, you know.
Well,
but I mean, the names are what they've been given, and you know, nobody's sort of saying it's approving of cockfighting. It's a disgusting thing, but you know, you can't turn your back on the past and say it never happened, you know.
Interesting. So, I mean, as a new person to this nation, Mr. Eric McElroy, because I'm joined by my co-host, Eric McElroy, originally from America. I'm assuming in America they don't have... Do you don't have pubs, you have bars and Irish pubs.
Yeah, I mean, they've had some controversies in the States over things like the Washington Redskins as a football team, American football team, and whether or not to keep calling them Redskins, because that is a derogatory term for Native Americans. According to some Native Americans. So that's upset some people, and they've been pushing to change that name.
So I suppose cockfighting is not a derogatory term. It's just an abhorrent act.
I don't know if we call it cockfighting in America. I can't remember. But it wasn't a big sport where I'm from.
Well, nothing either. You don't like football either. So as a pub historian, are there other pubs that you know of that have weirder names?
I don't think anything weird about it. I mean, there are so many different names for pubs. You know, you get the very common ones like the Red Lion. That's the most common one in this country. And
we don't have Red Lions anymore either. So maybe that needs to, we don't have Red Lions anymore.
Yeah, right, we'll ban those, should we?
You also get golden
Lions and White Lions and pub names. You know,
there's actually no Lions. I hate to burst that bubble, but there's actually no Lions in the UK. So maybe we should call it the Red Badger. So we're gonna keep a list of the pub names we need to change, actually, because if we follow this thought and we want to protect the animals,
yeah.
So Red Badgers, yeah. Okay, yep.
So what other kind of names do we have, Jeff?
Talking about Red Lion, do you know why we have that as a name?
No, go for it.
It's most popular. I mean, it's really derived from heraldry. You know, the pub signs and pub names. I mean, they go back centuries, and in many cases, they are reflecting the political order of the day. Well, for example, the White Hart, that was the badge of Richard II. You know, we came back to the 15th century. And he was a man who said that all inns should have a sign outside. And so people trying to keep on the good side of the king, they used his badge, which was the White Hart, the white deer.
Interesting.
Another interesting thing about inn signs and names is that, you know, it's the last sort of retail institution that sort of goes by along with pawnbroking, I suppose, with three balls of pawnbrokers. It's the last sort of retail activity that is advertised by a pictorial sign. You know, it goes back to the days when people couldn't read. See you down at the Red Lion, and there was a picture of the Red Lion.
Do you know? And after a few, your ability to read leaves you before your ability to recognise pictures.
So. Oh, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know.
Oh, I'm sure you wouldn't, sir. I'm just trying to think the nearest pubs. Trying to think of pub names where I grew up. The Maypole. Obviously, no one's going to be offended by the Maypole. Just outside St.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Slug and lettuce is derogatory towards slugs, assuming they would only eat lettuce.
I'm amazed that's a health and safety contravention.
You get the slug and lettuce chain. I mean, what are we going to do about that?
Although I've had the food there.
Well, there's nowhere to stop,
often,
is there?
There are often slugs in the lettuce. So.
Surely there's nothing... The fighting cock is the most shocking of the names, one would imagine.
It probably is, yes. I mean, you also get the bear and ragged staff, and the sort of it's partly heraldic, and it may go back to the days of another disgusting activity of bear baiting, you know, where bears were set upon by dogs. But again, that was banned in 1835, 180 years ago.
What about the nag's head? That seems like it's a derogatory to women. I mean, it's, you know, they're just trying to get their point across.
Yes, we're digging a big pit, aren't we, with this one? We really are.
So do you think that they're... I mean, have you been following this story? Is there any chance they're going to change the pub's name?
I would be amazed. I hope they've got more sense. It's political correctness just gone daft.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. I think we've been doing this show for months now, and you're the first time we've actually had someone on the phone say that lovely
well,
phrase.
It's also the most ridiculous story I think you've broadcast for a long time as well.
Well, you should have heard some of the phrase.
Yeah, we cover a lot more sillier things than this.
That is brilliant. Well, I think I've achieved. I can retire now. In many ways, I guess we hope you're right. Although I thought when we were intro to this story, I thought it was the not using animal names in pubs, and I thought that was terrible. But actually, it's about the hiding the fighting side of it. So I'm still not sure I'm convinced. I might be in favour. I mean, I don't really go into that many pubs anyway. But would I go to a place more because it wasn't mentioning fighting cocks?
I shouldn't think it would influence your decision greatly, would it? I don't think so.
If it was a clever cock versus a fighting cock, that's the key here, isn't it? It's all about branding.
Well, there are some pubs just...
Well, of course. I mean, there are the rude connotations for the last word, you know. I mean, are we going to ban that for that possible reason? You know, somebody might get offended.
I hadn't thought of that, Jeff.
Oh, dear. It's a bottomless pit, this.
Yeah. So,
some parts of Soho might go...
Yeah.
Totally cock.
When you arrange to meet someone in the cock. Do you know what? You've given me food for thought, Jeff. Food for thought. We have not stumbled across that little particular sticky issue. So, Jeff Brownwood, pub historian. Oh, how are things at Camera? What's your favourite ale? If we're going to do an ale, I'm going to write this down. What's your favourite ale at the moment?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it depends on how I feel on the day. You know, I think one of my favourites probably is Harvey's of Lewis, their best bitter, which is a great classic. But there are so many wonderful ales around these days. You know, it's the golden age of beer drinking. There's something like 1,200 breweries, record number since before the Second World War, an absolutely unprecedented choice of ales. There's, you know, there's something for everybody out there.
What do you think of these craft beers that are coming over from America?
There's some very fine stuff. There really is.
It's nice to see a little bit of variety, I think.
Yes, it is. It is. I mean, there's something for everybody out there now, which is, you know, just fantastic, I think.
And, right. I mean, Camera is quite cool these days, isn't it? It's not like, because it used to be associated with, you know, the real ale drinker, the beard wearer. Can I just ask, Jeff, are you the proud owner of a beard?
No, I'm not. I used to be at one time. I used to be, but not these days.
Times
nor sandals.
Nor sandals.
Nor sandals. Now or pot belly.
Really?
I'll
have to try some of this beer that you're talking about.
Oh, it'll do you good.
Well, thanks very much for joining me, Jeff Brownwood. Have a nice night. It's out down the cock, whatever you do. And pub historian, works closely with Camera and author of books on the subject, including Britain's Best Heritage Pubs. Thanks very much.
Okay. Thanks indeed.
Yeah, I think we've learned about beer.
And cock.
I hadn't thought of that. I can't believe we did the entire show. And quite a lot of the show was... penis related, and I didn't. I should have thought this through.
Should have done.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some jokes.
Just noticed I got an email. Someone's offered me a top rank in Google. Hope you're doing well. Advertising online, blah, 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 blah.
Nice opportunity for you there.
Yeah. That's online marketing executive. Oh, it must be good because it's not sent directly to me, it's sent to himself. I must have been BCC'd in. Good days! Right, so this is the bit of the show where we go through... We've done the newspapers, we've seen what's in the newsy part of the newspapers. Now we'll look at the more papery part towards the back. We could just read out TV listings. What else is in the back of a newspaper? We could do horoscopes, we could do a Sudoku live on air, and one day I will make that happen. If there was once a quiz on radio that was like basically playing darts on radio, the Sudoku live on Steve Doku.
Let me know when that's on.
Okay, we'll
do. I've
got
something else to do with that day.
I'll WhatsApp you about it. And there's another bit in the newspapers, which is more of the agony aunt section. And I think sometimes the advice that you are given by those agony aunt people, I'm not sure if it's all dat, as the young people say. So instead, we give our opinions, our experts' advice to help you out. And you can email any problems you ever have to steve@foodbarradio.com. And we'll get back in touch with you. But one of the ones that's in the papers, what have we got there, Eric?
Dear Eric and Steve,
hi.
I'm 12. Oh. And not me. This is the person. Let's just clarify there. I'm 12, and I've heard my parents having sex 5 times. So I've talked to them.
Well, that's only going to put them off. It's going to make it take longer, if anything.
I stopped hearing them doing it, and I was happy until my mom made a joke. Oh, God, I need parents. My dad was giving her a piggyback. which
I don't
know if he realizes what he said there. So I said, "What are you doing?" And she just laughed and said, "Don't worry, we're not having sex." I guess it's helpful. So I came home from school once and I was looking for something in my dad's drawer when I found condoms.
Dun, dun, dun!
Is this 12-year-old just, does he not realize his parents are human beings? Anyway, all right. Then I looked in their bin. What? Why didn't you take them out of their bin? That's going to end badly.
Yeah.
And there were two empty condom wrappers. Then...
This kid just needs to get
and
the hell out of your parents' bedroom.
I was smelling. Never mind.
and then, because I've seen CSI, I put like a UV light over everywhere and those weird glasses. And it
and then I looked at the camera that I had installed in the corner of their bedroom. Jesus, kid. Get out. Watch some television. Then I found a pregnancy test with only one in it when the packet said it contained... Two! What do I do? Get a friend. This is the best part. I've already written them an aggressive letter.
Oh, that's perfect. That is, of all the ways to deal, and this is a middle-class family. All I'm saying, this is a middle-class family. 12-year-old is upset. Well, I shall write a stern letter.
Dear parents, mother and father... I have been inspecting your rubbish bin, and I have found it to contain... I mean, the thing is...
I would ask you to desist forthwith.
I think the problem I have here is that these parents have stopped they should stop using protection and maybe have a new child, because they clearly have messed up this one.
That's not a bad idea.
I mean, I can identify...
Where are you going with this? You've got two generations to go. Are you going up, you're going down?
My mother.
Oh, he's going up.
My mother.
I start gipping.
My mom remarried when I was about 10, and she had three children in 5 years. And when she got pregnant with the third one, and it wasn't a good relationship, I was like, Mom, I was about 17. I was like, Mom, you got to start using protection.
And, you had to have that talk.
I had to have that talk with my mother. And then my mother proceeded to explain to me why the different forms of birth control were not effective between her and my stepfather, including the condom, which apparently gave her a rash, which I did not need to know.
Okay.
And then other things which caused chafing. She told me everything. This is where I got my sense of ability to say things in comedy, is my mother, who has no filter. And
she should try putting a filter in that, does it?
Yeah,
is that what
but
called?
See,
they called it the sponge.
But see, I didn't know this was not a normal conversation to have with your mother, father. Like until I was at school the next day, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I was talking to my mom about birth control," and then all of the other people at school stopped talking to me.
Well, they did start talking to your mum, which was weird.
Well, I know.
What do
you say to this poor kid?
Stop snooping around. There's the bigger problem. You've got two groups in this. You've got a happily married couple that have had kids and are still having sex. Mm. How dare they? And you've got some 12-year-old who's going around like some kind of CSI agent trying to snoop in there. I've hacked their email accounts and they've referred to the fact that they plan Wednesday for Nookie. I mean, give them some space.
You'll be glad. You'll be glad that they're having sex someday.
Really? No, I'm not sure about that.
I'm not sure about that either. But yeah, let it go, kid.
Don't post them that aggressive letter. Or if you do, don't sign it. Because that would be even better. So they don't know it's from you. Just, dear Mr. and Mrs. whatever your surname is, I have noticed you are frequently having sex. I have also been around your bedroom. I have found condoms and only one pregnancy test. Therefore, I assume you have taken a piss on the other, and one hopes there won't be another child, and then they'll just be so freaked out they will start having sex.
I mean, just be glad you didn't find the actual pregnancy test that she used.
I mean, there are worse things to find as well. I was going through their drawers, and I found condoms. Like, dude, you are so lucky.
I found this torch that doesn't have a light on the end. It just makes it... Just There's so many things he could have found.
Yeah,
come around my house, kid. No.
Okay. don't that ain't Tupperware. Okay, should we delve into the second story?
Yes.
Dear Stephen Eric, I'm a girl. Not my words, the words of the correspondent. And I work on a building site. I worked on a building site for 18 months.
That's allowed now? Look at that.
You didn't drive there, though. It's not. Because that would be immodest. Oh, I love it when they drive. About 4 months ago, a new crew started on site, and I got along with them really well. Just before my contract was up, I moved to another site. One of the new boys asked for my number before he went on holiday so we could catch up when he got back, you know, like parents do. When he returned, we were texting and talking about meeting up. Then last Saturday night, one of his workmates, who'd somehow got my number, started texting me. Why not WhatsApp? It's cheaper. At the start, I was being nice and texting back as we had such a laugh in work together. Then on Sunday, both boys were texting me. The text got really sexual with the boy who'd started texting me on Saturday. Oh, I need a flipping Venn diagram for this crap again.
I think she's sexting with the new guy.
Sexting with the new guy, which is also the title of my autobiography.
Who she had not... I wonder, you know, going back to our previous story, has this young man...
Into the mic, though, because we're on radio. Yeah.
Sorry, I got a little excited there. I wonder if the 12-year-old has been checking his parents' texts, because it sounds like if there's condoms around, pregnancy tests going on, some piggybacking happening, then I would imagine he needs to check their text messages as well. He's not completed his investigation yet, and until he does, I'd like him to come back and report
He's
to us.
He's definitely checked those. He's a 12-year-old in a family. He's the only one who can work the phone.
Okay.
Doesn't start being nice. Meanwhile, previously in letter two, she is sexting with man number two.
Right.
And, we talked about wanting to have sex. Okay, I'm just going to underline, we talked about wanting to have sex. Okay. I haven't heard from the first boy since, so I don't know if he found out about the other boy. I really regret sending those sexed. Oh, is that right? That's good, isn't it? Mm. So it's like text and sex in the same word.
Let's copyright that.
But then again, I use WhatsApp, so I'd be swatsapping.
Swapping.
As I may have messed things up with the one I like, as they are colleagues. Help, says this correspondent. What's the advice for this swatsapper?
Actually speak to another human being rather than communicate with them digitally, and maybe you'll have a chance of real and lasting affection and love.
Oh, okay. I mean, this is rare, isn't it, that someone's found I'm a girl, so she's a girl, has found sexual interest on a work site. That can't happen very often, can it? I mean, she worked there for 18 months, or at least she got to... It's not like you could just, like, walk past a building site and find out that the work people there find you attractive.
So the nice thing about working on the building site is you'd already have your own hard hat. You know what I mean?
Good God, I hope not. Good. Two things. If you'd like us to answer your questions, you can email steve@foobarradio.com. And if you are Eric's children, and we're going down the generation for this, whatever you do... Let me stop the music. Whatever you do, never look in Eric's drawers in his bedroom. And if you find a hard hat, it's your own fault.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McElroy. News the way it shouldn't be done.
I can't believe it. Very much like earlier on today when somehow... So we go, keep pressing that. There it is. That knee sprain. Somehow I managed to get to the Overland Station rather than the Underground, and I was like, I can't believe we've arrived.
I can't believe it's not better.
That's exactly what I think about the show. Both that we've got towards the end and this show is technically not butter. I'm flipping loving it. Loving it. But the big question is... Yeah, we've got to the end of the show. It's always nice to get the feedback. The only way we will improve is by asking someone who knows what they're talking about how the show went... producer Amanda.
Well, okay, guys. Are we ready for this?
Don't forget the truth sandwich.
The good news, the bad, and then the good. Yes, I'm not going to do that. I'm throwing the sandwich out the window and I'm having truth sushi.
Oh, crap. We're on
truth, guys.
We're on truth Atkins. But what if some carbs.
I think you've done very, very well today. I've learned a lot. Can I take you through what I've learned today,
yes,
please?
Yes, that'd be good.
So today, thanks to you guys, I've learned that there is, in fact, a direct link between nudity and the wars over oil in the Middle East.
Yeah.
There we go, true. And we know that now. I've learned that Steve's spelling, your spelling's on a par with my own.
Oh, can't you spell as well?
Terrible speller.
We don't need to.
Don't need to. Just say, I mean, you know what I'm getting at, right? You know, just say it.
You do need to if you want to win the spelling bee.
I'm okay without that without that win. I'll take it as a loss.
Just saying.
We all know phonetics, so that'll do. And also, I've learned that condoms give Eric's mum a rash.
I learned that as well before the show.
Been informative.
She was, you would have had a chance.
So, no.
Oh, she's on her fourth husband. I mean, let's just say.
And that's just her husband. How many? Yeah. So.
at one time.
Yeah, at one time. For it. So, yeah, I didn't realise. I mean, it has been a rude show,
bit.
It's been very, you know, nakedness. But there's, hey, we've all got a body. There's no shame in this.
Yeah, could you two get dressed up, please?
Not really.
I don't know where to look. I know it's radio, but
I can tell you where to look. Right there. Look at that. Look at that. It's waving. What?
Ray and Natalie will be in the studio in a moment. They don't want to know. They don't want to sit on those chairs knowing what.
They might want to get new chairs.
Yeah.
Now that Ray and Natalie are going to be in here, it's waving more. Interesting.
For who? For which?
Well. It's like water divining. You just put one either side, see which way. I wonder if you can use it to divine water.
There's only one way to find out.
Could you do that in your own time?
Okay.
Is this not my time?
but this is the what I like about the end of the show. We get the show notes. We should tweet a picture. I'm definitely tweeting a picture of this. While you do that, I'm going to tweet a picture of the feature that is called the definitive word. And look at the copious notes that we are presented. I will be tweeting.
I am still learning what this feature is, and
as are we all.
Okay, but I've done some work on it.
Okay.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't write it down, did you?
I did. Well, I've written it here.
Oh, you got notes.
I've got notes, yeah. But...
It's a surprise. What's his name? What was that other guy's name who used to produce? What was his name?
Oh, wow. There's show business right there.
Once you're gone, he's dead to me, Sam.
Did he inform me before?
No, he came in and, well, the first couple of episodes, we didn't know what it was. And then as he got lazier, we didn't.
He must have got in at about 7 o'clock in the morning.
He was a really hard worker, really good producer, really can't fault him at all.
Difficult show to prepare for because there's a lot of work that goes into this.
There's a lot of cutting and pasting.
Oi. Don't give away the secrets.
He used to have other people do that. So.
Yeah, it's true.
Did he? Did an army of cutters and pasters.
You need an assistant. We were saying this off air earlier on. You need an assistant.
I'm going to disagree with you there.
Oh, yeah, he disagrees, yeah.
Reasons, oh, but. Why do you not think I need an assistant now?
I'll explain to you later.
Do it. But I think
after the show.
Because earlier on when you said, you're right for a drink, I thought it feels wrong. But we've got Amanda as a producer. Oh, I can't get you making drinks.
What I know, but wrong? I knew the answer would be no because you've both got massive Costa cups in front of you and Red Bull. So I thought,
if I didn't have a massive Costa cup, I really would get arrested for not wearing all these clothes.
She's done all this work to prepare something and we're not even going to have a chance.
I have literally ripped stuff out of the metro for this. So okay. Are you listening?
Ready.
Yep. Okay, so what should we start with? Oh, I know. Right, have a baby by 30 or risk on missing out. Apparently, would-be mothers should start trying for a baby before they hit 30 or they face the prospect of a childless future, which I think sounds fabulous. What do you wish? What do you think everybody should have done by the time they've hit 30?
Well, because it was trying for a child, I think you should definitely...
Have a crack at that.
Have a crack at something
really?
Along those lines. Well, not...
Well, everybody? But how overpopulated
I'm
the world?
I'm not saying you want to succeed, but just try. Try hard, really hard.
Even some ways that, you know, the basic level of scientific knowledge tells you can't get pregnant that way.
Yeah, try it.
Give it. You never know. You could be the first
if
one.
If anybody needs any help trying, just give us a call
so
at
you're,
Football Radio.
You recommend people try sexual intercourse by the time they're 30.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you know, 29.
Looking back, I wish I had.
Okay.
But I mean, I think having kids is great. I wish we'd started earlier, but we didn't know each other earlier before our 30s.
That would have been weird, wouldn't it?
It would have been awkward, probably for our, the people we were married to before if we had. So, yeah, it didn't work out for us. But
I do think with my bad back that any of those activities that require a... No, because I ended up getting a bad back in my 20s. And now a lot of people... Because my dad used to do parachute jumps when he was in the army. My dad used to do parachute jumps. Try getting pregnant that way. It's all about the aim. I couldn't do that now, though.
You couldn't do a parachute jump. Have you ever done a parachute jump?
No, but it's too late now because my back's all knackered up. If I jump out of a plane, any kind of effort is going to twist this baby and ruin it.
What about if somebody had a bouncy castle for you to land on? Would that...
Still would not go pregnant, but I might try it. it's just the jumping out, the tensing up. I know I'd twinge my back, and then you're screwed because it's not like you can give in and go back up.
It's a really good excuse, Steve.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, I can't do that, my back.
It's a pretty good excuse
really
for most
good.
Things. But.
That's really good. I believe you.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ronaldo, did you see the pictures of Ronaldo I'm going to show you? Busting some moves on his yacht.
Okay.
Apparently did a little dance. So Cristiano Ronaldo, renowned for his skills on the pitch, but pulled off some new moves when he performed a cheesy dance routine on a luxury yacht. When was the last time you two bust some moves in public?
Earlier today.
Yeah, he
in
does.
In here, in the studio.
He's
dancing.
Got the moves. It's like watching Beyonce. It's amazing. I personally... Oh, before my bad back. It was definitely before my bad back. I reckon it would have been early 20s, back when I was still drinking. We keep going. The final section of the show is always about my drinking.
Always about your drinking.
But yeah, I've only ever danced in public when drunk. I've not been drunk for over 8 years. Therefore, ergo, not danced in public.
Eric?
We went dancing the other night for somebody's birthday party.
Well, I just stayed still, but he moved around me. That's weird.
So, but not in like an inappropriate public, not on my yacht. My yacht is a strictly no dancing zone because it does not exist.
Well, health and safety as well. Slippy. You don't want to slip in, fall in.
Start rocking that boat. Or if my boat's a rocking, don't come and knock.
Or it's just to do with a wake.
Yep.
So, any more of the... Yeah.
If we've got time, I've got one more.
Okay, so Enrique
Iglesias, singer, sliced his fingers as he grabbed a drone when a concert stunt went wrong. Have you ever had to style out a stage injury?
I've had to perform while having a gout attack.
Having a gout, yeah.
Having gout and hobbling on stage, but I had to wear sandals.
That's the least glamorous thing I've heard in my entire life.
That's what happens when you get into your 40s and you're in show business.
Oh, I look forward to that at the moment. I have my back. I'm still not in my... All right, everyone. I'm not in my 40s. That is a proper fact. I pretend that I'm 35. I'm 38. That's not a 40. I get no respect here.
Nope, you don't.
Nosebleed once. Dealt with it.
On stage.
Did that. Oh, it's horrible when you have to do it, but you got to do
it
sometimes.
It's made my eyes
better in than out.
Listen, so that's it. Have a good one until next week and check the podcast and things and words that are like that.